Human Rights Council passed a resolution to launch an investigation into human rights violations in Syria. The UN sent a humanitarian mission to Syria last week to look at the effects of President Bashar al-Assad's crackdown on protesters. People in South Florida are getting ready for Hurricane Irene, just in case. Nancy Daly, whose store specializes in discount building supplies, says people are buying shutters for their windows.
We have been busy, and we anticipate being very busy through Thursday. We're already out of the most common sizes.
Irene could become a major hurricane today as it moves closer to the Bahamas. We'll get some news about the critical housing sector today. CNN's Lisa Desjardins reports on the impact to the economy.
3 years after the recession hit, it still comes down to the nearly comatose housing market. Today, we'll get the government report on how many new homes are selling. That's key because it shows the health of both the housing and construction businesses.
A Motown legend has died. Now it's time. Nicholas Ashford was one half of the singer-songwriter duo Ashford and Simpson, whose biggest hit was Solid as a Rock in 1984. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
There are a million reasons Staples makes going back to school easy. Today's reason? Their incredible selection of Windows laptops, perfect for your student. Now you don't have to hear.
You're giving me your old laptop, Mom? It's so big.
Or
the X key is missing. That's not an important letter.
Or our favorite.
Mom, what is a floppy disk?
So go to Staples for powerful and portable laptops from HP, Dell, and Toshiba. Even the amazing Samsung Princeton with the new Intel Core technology. Staples. That was easy.
Newman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
If you ask a lot of economists what they think will happen in the next year, you'll get a lot of answers. In recent days, there have been surveys of economists forecasting a 1 in 3 and a 1 in 2 chance of recession. This morning, an AP survey finds about a 1 in 4 chance. 23% of economists think recession awaits us within the next year. But there is one constant in all the surveys now, a rising chance of recession versus just a couple of months ago. Score one for Barnes & Noble. The company has struck a deal likely to further strengthen its Nook electronic reader's future. Time Warner's magazine division is making its titles available on the Nook. Time, Fortune, Sports Illustrated, and People are available now as we speak. More, including Entertainment Weekly and In Style, are on the way. Hopes for another soon-coming Fed monetary stimulus plan are helping global stock markets, most in Asia and Europe, up a percent or more. Right now, S&P futures gaining 17, NASDAQ futures up 28. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use Deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
Wearing glasses with Prizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain nor snow nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal Lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you on this clearly wonderful Tuesday morning. And a pleasure to be with you. Radford, I need to pull you in a little earlier than normal this morning because I actually forgot to mention this yesterday, and it rocked my world.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
I saw leaves changing color this weekend.
That you watched them that long?
I didn't watch them. I saw they were changing colors.
I was like, you must have been staring at leaves for a long time.
God, I hate you sometimes.
Yeah, that's a sign of fall right there. That's a sign of end of summer.
Let me announce this now. I'm taking a couple days off in September, and Jeff's going to be sitting in. We're not going to book any guests. I'm going to turn off the toll-free number. I'm going to have the local number killed, and I'm going to make you sit here for 3 hours every morning and suffer.
Oh, yeah? I can talk about anything I want?
Nope.
You're going to make a list of what that...
Absolutely.
You must talk about Libya.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to really make this as hard as I possibly can for you, because God knows that's what you do to me every day.
Oh, come on.
It's true.
So, sign of fall coming in the end of summer.
I was a little disappointed.
Are you a fan of summer more than fall?
No, and to be honest with you, I love the fall. I love the cool nights and warmer days. I love making soup and chili and homemade bread. And when I make homemade bread, you guys will benefit from that.
You have me excited for fall now. That sounds like good stuff. You know, and pumpkins are around, and I love anything made with pumpkin, obviously.
Yeah, we figured that out. Sweet Jesus, did we figure that out. I love the fall, and I love spring, and summer's, for the most part, great. I'm not a fan of winter at all. And I think that, you know, I'm just going to say it. The older I get, the more I hate winter. I've never been, I don't mind cold. I hate snow.
Me too. It doesn't bother me until I start driving. Other than that, I could care less. If snow would fall only on grass areas, I would be cool with it.
Now, this will be the first year in the 17 or 18 years. Actually, I'm coming up on my 18th year in radio, 1st of October, by the way. Actually, it'll be my 19th year now that I think of it. Anyway. With the exception of my very first year in radio, I had a home studio. So it didn't matter what the weather was. I, you know, had a studio in my home. So it was no big deal. Well, this will be the first year since my very first year in radio that I actually have to, no matter what the weather's doing, I'm going to have to get out in the elements to get to work.
Well, it's a good thing you got a brand new truck then.
A four-wheel drive, brand new.
That thing is going to kick butt through the snow.
But, you know, and of course, I'm going to use the line everybody uses. I'm not worried about the way I drive. I worry about the way everybody else drives. But there seems to be some truth in that for me. I really do think I know what I'm doing on the roads. It's those people that, you know, drive 7 miles an hour when they don't have to, or those people that drive 65 miles an hour when they're insanely crazy to be doing it. So it's the both extremes there, but it'll drive me nuts. I'll never forget last winter, I was out on the east side, and the weather started to get bad, and I was there for a family reason, a serious family reason, But the weather was getting really, really bad, and the roads, you could tell, were awful. And so I decided to leave because I knew it was going to take me a while to get home, which it did. It took me like 2.5 hours. But the problem was I kept on running into those pockets of traffic on the expressway where, you either had people that were going way too slow or way too fast. And I didn't get that. I just don't get why people do that. The slow one is, I think, worse than the fast one. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But it just drives me crazy. So
the fast people that are driving way too fast in snow and ice-covered roads, they scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
No, more so than the slow people. I mean, the slow people annoy you, but at least you're pretty...
You, folks, do you see what I have to deal with on a daily basis?
I thought you said it was the other way around.
I just said that. No, you don't listen to me. We are married. We are absolutely married. I just made this comment to him before the show. Todd, help me out here. I mean, seriously. By the way, Todd, you have a fan. I had sent Jeff a story yesterday. There's some proposed insurance reform, auto insurance reform legislation out there. And the guy that sent me the lead on this story was disabled in a car accident years ago. Anyway, he said the first line of his email was, "Thank you for hiring Todd and keeping him on."
Oh, right on. I don't know why, but... Thank you.
You said it, not me. His name's Brian, by the way. So, Brian, if you're listening, I sharing that. So that I just thought I'd let you know.
Cool.
Todd, isn't your dad named Brian?
I'm just kidding.
That was actually pretty good, Radford. I mean, not bad for you. So anyway, I saw the leads.
No, wait, not bad for you?
Yeah, you're actually not very funny.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, he's, so for those of you that don't get this about Jeff, he's competitive with everything. I mean, everything.
How is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing. Okay. It's just you don't always show graciousness in that process of competitiveness.
When have I not shown graciousness?
I'll bring in the list tomorrow. I don't have it with me. I usually fill it.
You need the bed of your truck to bring in the list.
That's right, and a forklift. And I've got all that stuff at the house, so I'll bring it in the morning. Nah, it's not that bad, of course. But you are competitive. There's no question that's true. You love to challenge me at every turn. I say something, and you challenge it. You're pretty quick with the challenges there, pal.
I like to keep people on their toes.
Yeah, well, it's working. Kinda. But that's okay. I'll survive this. Hey, you had a great time yesterday out at UAW Local 22. There's a group of retirees that meet there. They're not all UAW retirees, but a group of retirees that meets there on H.R. 676, which is the single-payer health care bill that Congressman Conyers sponsored years ago that has co-sponsors that's still waiting for a hearing. But they get together on a weekly basis and they invite other people. It's really an educational effort, and they asked me to come speak to them yesterday. My buddy Jack Bartok, a former Cadillac assemblyman, asked me to come in, and what a wonderful, Jeff, I'm telling you, the nicest group of people I think I've ever spoke to in my life. There's one woman there, God bless her, she had the most beautiful smiles. I said to her, "Anybody ever tell you you got a beautiful smile?" She looked at me serious as heck and said, "Somebody gave me $50 once because of my smile." Now, I don't know if she was looking for money from me, but she didn't get it. But
I wouldn't be retired if that was her job. She just has to smile and people give her money.
She's just a beautiful. You could just tell she's a beautiful soul. Has a, you know? Have you ever, you know, met somebody that just they just got a smile that makes you happy? I mean, have you ever met anybody like that?
Yeah, people that you just radiate happiness.
Yeah, and she just had that whatever that it is about her, but her smile was just lovely. So I just had a great time, had a wonderful lunch. They treated everybody to lunch, which was nice. There's a big group of people there, and I thoroughly enjoyed speaking to them and talked about the importance, of course, of staying on our path and not letting that mountain that looks too big intimidate us. That we need to just keep one step at a time moving forward. And that message seemed to resonate with them, so that was a good thing. I truly enjoyed meeting with them yesterday, and this is a nice opportunity to remind you folks, if you would like me to come speak at one of your events, All you have to do is send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and as long as I've got space on my calendar, I'm there. I'm there. I enjoy doing it. So feel free to let me know. I brought some coffee mugs with me. They enjoyed the coffee mugs and some bumper stickers. So, fun.
Speaking of which, we have a new chance to win stuff like that, right? Isn't there a prize package out there?
There is a prize package, Johnny. Thanks for asking. Yes, we have a new captioned picture somewhere here. All right. If you folks, it's on the Facebook page. Now, you need to scroll down just a little bit. But there's a new caption contest, and I actually posted it twice, so it doesn't matter where you do it, whether it's in the first one or the second one. But if you go to the second one, which is a little bit further down, you'll see what some of the other people have written. But there's a letter there from Congressman Alan West, and we're just asking you to caption that letter. And it'll make a lot of sense once you get there. And, of course, we're you know what? I forgot to bring the explanation. Remember the reason that he wrote the letter?
Oh, right.
I don't have that with me.
All right, I'll see if I can print it out.
Yeah, well, I got it from you, so I would assume you have it. I meant to do that this morning and just totally blanked on it. But, yeah, the caption contest is out there. Two coffee mugs, first shift pens, a pen, and some bumper stickers. So there you go. Brian in Massachusetts, if you're listening this morning, I finally sent your mug out in the mail yesterday, so you should have it in a day or so. And, all right, well, we got a lot to get to today. I'll get to my guests on the other side. Of course, Justin Verlander pitched last night. What does that mean for the Tigers? We'll let you know that as well. And we got a lot of issues to work through this morning, so you're going to want to stay plugged in. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Stay right where you're at. Let's get our coffee together, and we'll get together and get this day going. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking great out there on the freeways right now. Service streets seeing some construction, though. Crooks Road, north and southbound, right near Infinity 9. That's down to just one lane. Also, to the south of that, you're going to find it down to just two lanes in each direction between 14 Mile and Maple. So expect some delays in the area there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the lower 80s. Tonight, some showers and thunderstorms likely as we go through the evening. Mostly cloudy, a low around 66. So warm front comes through. And then Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Again, a 50% chance for showers and thunderstorms after 2 o'clock. Some breezy winds out of the southwest as well. Currently it's fair and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9.
On 1310 WDTW.
The best value? Simple. It's the one that lasts. Like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. New brake pads or shoes, just $99.99 per axle installed. With a guarantee good for as long as you own your car. New brake pads or shoes installed, just $99.99 per axle. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Additional parts, labor, shop fees, and taxes extra. Most vehicles. See manager for guarantee terms. At participating Detroit area Midas.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Democrats are talking about job creation. Republicans are talking about how to protect the wealthiest Americans. How are we going to begin to bridge that gap?
Well, that's what Democrats are for. President Obama from day one has been focused on getting our economy turned around. We've gone from bleeding 750,000 plus jobs a month to now every month for the last 15 months we've had job growth in the private sector.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. I am Tony Truppiano. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And in an homage to Jeff Redford, we now are available via Twitter. We always were, but we're trying to. We haven't had a comment yet or a question from Twitter. So if you're so inclined, at Tony Truppiano, at TonyTruppiano. And it would make Jeff extremely happy.
How do you check Twitter? Are you on just the webpage Twitter or
yeah.
Do you have TweetDeck?
I don't. Well, I'm on the one in the studio, so I don't control that.
TweetDeck is the
Well,
the
then
stuff.
You'll have to download it here. I can't just go into this computer and do that.
All right, we'll get it set up for you because that way you can watch. Maybe we do have mentions and stuff like that.
You're right. According to this, I don't. So I'm just going. You know, I got it open in the browser. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. Anyway, at Tony Truppiano is the Twitter. Last night, Justin Verlander win number 19 in a 5-2 victory over the Tampa Bay. And I got to tell you, I've said this the last three times he's pitched, Jeff. Although he didn't have his best stuff, somehow he found a way to win. When am I just going to realize that he's just a damned good pitcher and he's going to find a way to win?
I'm surprised still. I mean, I'm waiting for that, like I said yesterday, that one game where it's like, and everyone has it. It's not to say that, you know, you're a great pitcher, you don't ever have these things. I mean, Halliday's had it, and Cliff Lee's had them. There's a lot of pitchers who go through, you know, they hit that one game. I mean, I guess it was in, what, mid-July the last time Verlander gave up 5 runs, only 4 were earned, though. And since then, I mean, even that day, I think he won, I'm pretty sure. Obviously, I mean, he's got 19 wins now.
He's won 7 in a row.
Yeah, so he hasn't had that one day where he just doesn't make it through 4 innings or something like that. And, you know, you can almost count on him being a win every time he pitches, which is incredible.
Yeah, well, again, I try not to say that because I'm one of them superstitious people, but last night I'm watching him pitch. It was in the 6th inning, and I'm thinking, he's not looking that great tonight again. But he was fine. I don't know what the hell's my problem.
Well, you expect a no-hitter every time out.
You know, why? And there is some truth to that. I mean, you know, Jeff, there really is some truth to that because he's capable of doing that every time he goes out.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one. I asked friends for a prediction for last night, and a couple of them said no-nos. And I was like, really? I mean, it's Tampa Bay. I guess, you know, last year they had a large number of games where they only scored one run or were shut out. which is pretty incredible for a team that good. That just shows you how good their pitching is. But, yeah, their hitting is suspect to being no hit. So,
oh, it was, you know, again, another victory. Now we're 5.5 games up on in first place, which is good. I'm starting to now feel that distance. I'll be happy when we've got 8 games between us and the second place team, whoever that may be. Then I'll feel a little bit better about this whole situation.
I'll feel better once they just clinch.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be.
But we're a ways away from clinching time, though, aren't we?
The magic number's got to be 0 for me to finally feel like the monkey's gotten off the back of the tiger. So.
Do you, and because this is an issue for me, do you believe that baseball goes too late into the year?
Only because that they've extended the times between games in the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, the 162 games, I don't mind. I mean, if they doubled up and did a couple of double headers on the weekends, I'd be cool with that to shorten up the season. But yeah, I mean, when you're not even talking about Reggie Jackson's Mr. October. Well, now you're looking for a Mr. November because they're starting to go later and later. Yeah.
Well, and you stop and think about it. You begin your season and you got a chance of being snowed out, and you end your season, and you technically have a chance of being snowed out. That's a long season, man. That's a really long season. So I would like to see the season end a couple weeks earlier. And I think that the solution, you just gave us the solution, doubleheaders. That's the solution.
Loves those.
Jeff, you could easily shorten the season by a week by just doing more doubleheaders. Easily do that. And I don't think the players would even feel it. How do the players feel about doubleheaders?
You know what? I think they're used to them. I think they'd welcome them in certain circumstances. I mean, the catchers probably wouldn't, but then you have to make sure. Like right now, the Tigers wouldn't like it because Brandon Inge would have to catch one of the 2 games, I would assume, because you wouldn't expect Avila to be down there for both games. So if you're only carrying one catcher, then you probably don't like it as much, but... You know, I mean, I would assume, and it's not like the teams can't claim, well, we don't make as much money. They actually kick you out in between doubleheaders and bring in the new crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, that is different than it used to be. Used to be you bought a ticket to a doubleheader and you got to see 2 games. That also, there also wasn't that much time between the 2 games. At least when I was a kid, there weren't. I think that maybe an hour between the 2 games, Jeff? When I was a kid?
Yeah, I was going to say, from what I've read, I mean, maybe this is even before you were a kid. From what I've read, because I like reading old-time baseball stuff, and it seems like they took, half an hour, not even that, just enough time to get a little bit of a rest, and then bam, back out onto the field again.
Well, this is how, and again, when I was a kid, I went to quite a few baseball games and quite a few doubleheaders, and normally what would happen is the game would be over, the players would leave, the grounds crew would come out and, re-groom the field and re-chalk the field. And then in the process, the players would come out a little bit later. They'd throw the ball around a little bit, clean uniforms on, of course, and they'd go ahead and play the next game. I mean, and it was maybe an hour between the 2 games, so... now they have a meal, they have time for a cigar and some, a beer or two and whatever the hell they're doing between games. I don't know, but I don't like the new system. Anyway, the Tigers did win last night, 5.5 games up. We're happy about that. And let's take a look at what we got going on today. Those of you, of course, that are following the news know that we have a precarious but positive trending situation in Libya. We will talk with Sarah Margon this morning, who is on top of the developments there. We'll get an up-to-date account of what's going on, what we can expect in the near future and in the distant future. Is there going to be a cost to the United States? How involved are we? Will our military have to get further involved? All those questions that, of course, need to be answered and asked and answered will be asked and answered. So you can look forward to that at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, we're going to check in very briefly with Laura Fry, who is the president of the Professors Association at Central Michigan University. I'm sure you've heard by now that they were on strike, forced back to work by a judge. They honored that work back to work order. For, of course, fear of going to jail for not honoring that. But we'll check in with Laura Fry and find out exactly what's going to happen moving forward. There is a, as I understand it, there is a hearing on Friday morning about the legality of the strike, and we'll talk all about that. We'll get that all out. Chris Mihalakis, the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, will be with us. We've got a full agenda today, and of course, your calls, your questions, and anything else that happens on First Shift, because it's about you, as always. 888-552-3595. What's on your mind this morning? We'll find out what's on mine when we do this break. It's that simple. Give me a call. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Hey, good morning. Things are looking great on the freeways right now. We are accident and slowdown free. Wish we could say it was construction free, but let's be honest, it's not that time of year. South of the freeway, north and southbound between 94 and Grand River, two lanes are closed there. Also, north of that, it's closed between the Lodge and Grand River altogether. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, sunny, high right around 82. Tonight, a warm front moves in, and that could bring some showers and thunderstorms after 10 o'clock. Some of those storms could produce heavy rain, mostly cloudy, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, again, some gusty winds out of the southwest, a chance of a shower or thunderstorm after 2 o'clock. Currently, it's fair and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
The battle continues, and we must stay united until we get a fair contract. I want to thank all of my union brothers and sisters, both from landline and the wireless side, for their support in this fight. This is a true David and Goliath story being played out right now. David will once again win.
CWA Local 1101's Danny Gutierrez on the Verizon strike ending today. Striking Verizon workers return to work today under indefinite extensions of their existing collective bargaining agreements. Communications Workers of America President Larry Cohen says the unity that striking CWA and IBEW workers demonstrated in their two-week strike will continue, along with continued union mobilization, until the new collective bargaining agreement is won at Verizon.
That will go on not only until we have a decent contract, but until working people feel like they can join a union, any union, and bargain with their head held high across this country. We should return united as much as we can, marching in together, literally, at the start of a shift. For now, our unity will be to support the bargaining team and to show it. But if that process doesn't work in the weeks ahead, management absolutely knows that that unity will again be directed at them.
Cohen says the unions and working Americans everywhere need to build a new democracy movement to battle corporate power's assault on the middle class. Miles Calvi is IBEW Local 2222 business manager.
In good faith, we've decided to have our members go back and see if we can at least change the process. The process up to this point has been 100% concessionary, and as we explained to the company, even if we were crazy enough to come to a tentative agreement, it would never be accepted by the membership, so it was a complete waste of time.
He says a company like Verizon, with more than $106 billion a year in revenue, can't just dump health care costs on the backs of workers.
What a corporation that brings in $107 billion a year and has operating income profits of over $3 billion, if they decide that they're not going to help out on the health care issues, then we are in serious trouble.
Calvi says as Verizon workers get back to work and collective bargaining resumes, the public can help the unions build a democracy movement that defends the dream of a strong American middle class.
Any communication they have with Verizon, just tell them how outrageous it was that it wasn't just an attack on their employees, it's an attack on the middle class in this country.
The AFL-CIO is submitting more than 21,000 public comments from workers who want to see new NLRB union election rules adopted. The proposed rules would speed up union elections and help ensure that workers who want to vote to have a union have a fair choice. The AFL-CIO says working people overwhelmingly support the new NLRB election standards, despite a torrent of politically motivated attacks on the rules from companies and anti-union organizations.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind.
1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you on a Tuesday morning. Jeff had sent me a little thing before the show started. Somebody must have forwarded him to an email. It is a church sign, the Texas Baptist Church, and on the sign it reads, "I never told Rick Perry to run for anything. I did suggest he stop harassing gays, Mexicans, and Muslims, however," and it's signed God. That speaks for itself. Hey, for those of you who haven't heard, you need to hear this, President Obama will be at the Labor Day Parade on September 5th, and I'm very excited about that. Obviously, I'll be there marching with UAW Local 174 and Walter Reuther's local, and very excited to be joining that, and I'm going to once again make my appeal to all of you. Especially if you're not in a union. I can't think of a better way to show organized labor that you support them than by showing up for this parade on Labor Day. If you've never been to the Labor Day parade, I mean, there have been years, I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? There have been years where the turnout was awful. Now, labor's there, but people, you know, actually along the parade route, not so much. And it was disappointing. A couple years I went. It was a little disappointing. I don't want to see that, and I certainly don't want the president to see that. And, you know, we need to for once and for all show the entire region that we support organized labor. One of the ways, of course, to do that is to show up en masse on Labor Day. Now, I'm sure that we will see more people as a result of the president coming, and that's good news. That he made the decision to come here shows how important this is, but you know, folks, I want to remind you one more time. Southeast Michigan historically is ground zero for organized labor. And I'm seeing a trend towards it moving to Washington, D.C. And we need to move it back here. I still believe that metropolitan Detroit is the shining example of what organized labor can and does accomplish. Now, we are going to bring to you, and Jeff, by the way, real quick, where are we on getting those scholarship winners on the show? Because I'm just kind of curious on that.
We're still efforting.
Okay, but we'll have that pretty soon?
Yeah, we hope to.
Okay, well, here's the deal. I mean, and I know I mentioned this very briefly, so I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but I sat on a panel. I was a judge on a panel. The United Food and Commercial Workers give out college scholarships. And I sat on a panel to help distribute where those monies would go, to award those monies. It was a really cool process. You know, unions do so much more than just a collective bargaining agreement. And I think I've demonstrated to you, and although you have knowledge of that at some level, I think it needs to be demonstrated to you. That's why I cover this stuff on the show, and I'm going to continue to cover this stuff on the show. Because they do so much more than just a CBA. But we are the center of the organized labor universe, and we need to start acting that way again. And one of the ways to do that, of course, is to, we need to show our support. And you guys are doing a great job, and we're making progress. No question that's true. So anyway, I just want you to understand that, you know, Labor Day is important. So let's move on to some audio. Again, if you'd like to join us, anything on your mind, you know, feel free. We're always open lines, always. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and then for Jeff and for me too, at Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. All right, let's turn our attention to John Huntsman. He was on this week on ABC on Sunday, and he had lots of things to say about the Republican Party, about the field, about issues. What did he have to say about Michelle Bachmann? Well, let's find out.
Under President Bachmann, you will see gasoline come down below $2 a gallon again. That will happen.
Do you think that will happen?
I just don't know what world that comment would come from. You know, we live in the real world. It's grounded in reality. And gas prices just aren't going to rebound like that. But just as we are in a static world, that is completely unrealistic. And again, it's talking about things that, you know, may pander to a particular group or sound good at the time, but it just simply is not founded in reality.
All right. Now, again, John Huntsman, a candidate for Congress, former governor of Utah, another Mormon candidate, former ambassador to China under President Obama. Now, I want to go through this audio, and then I want to comment on, as I briefly did yesterday, but then I want to comment in whole on what I think what he was trying to accomplish here. Next, of course, he takes a look and takes a shot, actually, at Governor Rick Perry.
Well, I don't know if that's pre-secession Texas or post-secession Texas, but in any event, I'm not sure that the average voter out there is going to hear that treasonous remark and say, that sounds like a presidential candidate. That sounds like someone who is serious on the issues. But it gets to a broader point of, you know, the fact that, you know, we've had so much hope and hype in politics the last little while. We found ourselves at the extreme ends of the political spectrum, and people are crying out for us to get back to some level of sensibility. And every time we have these sideshows take place, finger-pointing and name-calling, it takes us that much farther off the ball, which is fixing our core in this country, is getting our economy fixed and creating jobs.
All right, and then again, John Huntsman on the Republican Party and science.
I think this is a problem. The minute that the Republican Party becomes the party, the anti-science party, we have a huge problem. We lose a whole lot of people that would otherwise allow us to win the election in 2012. When we take a position that isn't willing to embrace evolution, when we take a position that basically runs counter to what 98 of 100 climate scientists have said, what the National Academy of Sciences has said about what is causing climate change and man's contribution to it, I think we find ourselves on the wrong side of science and therefore in a losing position.
All right. Now, all of those sound bites that I've shared with you to this point, of course, are anti-candidate, anti-Republican candidate sound bites. And so you're saying to yourself, as the Democratic National Committee actually did, has John Huntsman auditioning to be a surrogate for the campaign in 2012. Not so fast, though. He had words not only for the extremists on the right, but for our president. Go ahead.
You were one of the only, if not the only, Republican candidate to support the deal to raise the debt ceiling. You called Congresswoman Bachman's position a, quote, crash and burn approach. Would you trust a President Bachman to do the right thing with the economy?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily trust any of my opponents right now who are on a recent debate stage with me when every single one of them would have allowed this country to default. You can imagine, even given the uncertainty of the marketplace the last several days and even the last couple of weeks, if we had defaulted the first time in the history of the greatest country that ever was, being 25% of the world's GDP and having the largest financial services sector in this world by a long shot, if we had defaulted, Jake, this marketplace would be in absolute turmoil. And people who are already losing enough as it is on their 401ks and retirement programs and home valuations, it would have been catastrophic. So I have to say that there was zero leadership on display in terms of my opponents, zero leadership in terms of the president, who should have used the bully pulpit well ahead of time. He should have walked away from the teleprompter. The people want you to speak from your heart and soul. Tell us where you want us to go. Tell us what you expect from Congress. Tell us what's on your mind. That never happened, and it waited until the 11th hour. And then we had some of my Republican opponents who basically, I think, recommended something that would have been catastrophic for this economy.
All right, now I'll give him credit for positioning himself as the only real candidate. All right, and that's basically what he's doing here. Now, this next one, I got to get in quick before we get to the break. He was asked, would he be a running mate for Michelle Bachman? His answer is, after all what he just said, was this.
Could you ever imagine running as a running mate to someone like Mitt Romney?
There'd be too many jokes about that. No, I can't imagine at all.
What about to a Tea Party candidate?
You know, anyone who's going
to
focus...
Michelle Bachman continued to get real traction.
Anyone
and she came to you and said, look, you're the other part of the party here. Together we can create sweet music.
You know, if you love this country, you serve this country. Every time I've been asked to serve over different administrations, from Reagan to the two Bushes to President Obama, I have the same answer, and that is, if you love this country, you serve her. And so, you know, if you're in a position to better the country, to bring whatever background you have to bear, whatever experiences to use in fine-tuning our future, I'll be the first person to sign up, absolutely.
You see, that's an unusual admission, I would say. And I think it's to your credit that you've done it, but it will get headlines, you know. And people will pick up on that and say, John Huntsman says, yeah, I'd happily serve under Michelle Obama. There's a kind of, I wouldn't say an admission of potential defeat, but you're at least acknowledging it could happen, that you may not be the guy.
This is a hypothetical conversation, and I give you more or less a hypothetical answer. That's okay. We're going to win, and I have no doubt about that. I think we've got the background. I think we have the temperament. I think we're right on the issues, and I think we're at the center right of the political scale, which is exactly where this country is.
Now, I know Jeff really enjoyed the last part of that soundbite where he goes, you know, it's a hypothetical. So he made sure that he kind of covered his ass on that a little bit. But how can you say that you wouldn't run with Romney, but you would run with Bachman?
How can you say Bachman's batshit crazy and yet you're going to be your VP?
I'm sorry, what did you just say? Anyway, it is amazing to me that John Huntsman, and these were, by the way, two different interviews. The last soundbite was with Piers Morgan, who I have issues with, that's besides the fact. In two different interviews, he basically said everything and nothing at the same time. He is everyone and has all the answers and doesn't like anybody, but would serve with them if he had to because he loves her. He loves this country. I don't know that he did himself any favors the last couple of days. He's going to be, by the way, on the Sunday shows again this upcoming Sunday. So I don't know why he's getting so much traction all of a sudden. Maybe because they are what Jeff just said. All right, I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break here. Open lines on the other side if you want to join us. 888-552-3595. Let's go.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
The best value? Simple. It's the one that lasts. Like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. New brake pads or shoes, just $99.99 per axle installed, with a guarantee good for as long as you own your car. New brake pads or shoes installed, just $99.99 per axle. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Additional parts, labor, shop fees, and taxes extra. Most vehicles. See manager for guarantee terms at participating Detroit area Midas.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Come on in. Oh, let me help you with that.
Thanks. I got the wine and the dessert. The steaks smell delicious. And look at the flowers. You always have such beautiful, fresh flowers. You must spend a fortune at the florist.
I grow them in my basement. I bought a hydroponic system from Light Green Water. It just takes a little time and some electricity. And it's not just the flowers. I grew the greens for our salad and a couple of vegetables. Come on, I'll show you.
Wow. It's so warm and sunny. It's like being on a tropical island.
Wait until I turn on the sound machine.
It's like you've got your own private Garden of Eden. Maybe we should dress like Adam and Eve.
Light Green Water has everything you need to grow a garden inside your home. Light Green Water is located at 3661 Highland Road in Waterford. That's M59, a quarter mile west of Cass Lake Road. Light Green Water, hydroponic equipment and supplies.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. By the way, we had a wonderful woman yesterday when I spoke to the single-payer healthcare group in Detroit, a woman by the name of Delphine, and she shared with me that coming up on Friday, September 16th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Church Activities Building on Rivard Street in Detroit is a event entitled Michigan Alliance to Strengthen Social Security and Medicare, and it invites you to the forum, Are You Really Covered? Some of the speakers that will be there, well, the primary speaker will be Janet Witt, who is the grassroots manager of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, but invited speakers include Senator Debbie Stabenow, Representatives John Conyers, Hanson Clark, Marcy Kaptur from Ohio, Max Richmond, who is the executive director of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. And Jeff, I'm happy to tell you, I did see Congressman John Conyers yesterday, and I can now confirm that he and Hanson Clark will be switching districts.
That's pretty big.
They're going to flip. They're going to Hanson's going to run in the 14th, and John's going to run in the 13th. And I hope to have them both on either this week or next week. Not at the same time necessarily, but I hope to have them both on to discuss the process by which they made this decision. And I think at some level it makes sense to me strategically that they would do that. And I think that it probably messes up the Republicans who thought, gotcha. So it'll be interesting to see, especially in the 14th, because there have been some candidates that have already announced. One of them, a Democrat by the name of Burt Johnson. Jeff, Burt Johnson actually has a felony record. I don't know that we want our members of Congress to be felons. At least I don't.
Well, at least not known.
Well, he's known. I mean, he robbed an Oakland County golf course at gunpoint some years back. And I realize that you give people a second chance, but we're talking about a member of Congress here, and certain things I can kind of let go. That wouldn't necessarily be one of them. And another supposed candidate is Tim Melton, who acts more like a Republican. So I think he's probably thinking of the Oakland County part of the district. He'll do well. I don't see it happening. Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence, another potential congressional candidate. Hanson Clark wipes the floor with all of them. So I just thought it was interesting news, and happy to share it. So interesting stuff. Jeff, you also found an interesting little soundbite, and we continue to wonder how the hell Ann Coulter can be ever taken seriously. Do you ever sit and think, I know I probably obsess about this. Maybe I'm jealous because she's done so incredibly well for herself. This woman is a multimillionaire for hate speech. Literally, she's a multimillionaire, and she's made her money off of hate. Well, we know she despises President Obama. This is her latest little foray into the conversation.
I think neither will make a huge impact, as huge as Rick Perry. And by the way, speaking of media vetting, there's a huge ad in an Austin newspaper asking for anyone who's had sex with Rick Perry. Can we get the ad to find, you know, Obama's cocaine dealer now that he's 2 years into his presidency? But as for Palin and Ryan, again, Ryan, I think he's like Bachman, a fantastic candidate, but he's from the House, and I think it's a little irresponsible for people to keep pushing Ryan. We haven't had a House member become president since James Garfield.
Obama's coke dealer? Really? Did I miss a story somewhere? Jeff, did you forget to send that story to me?
There is no story. That's just what she decided to... I mean, she's making a comparison, but that's what she went with to try and get at Obama.
I mean, come on. Obama's coke dealer? Okay, you know,
I mean, has there been thought that, Rick Perry has, you know, cavorted around, I guess?
Well, yes. You do know that, and there, here's another story that just hasn't made the mainstream media for whatever reason. You know, he's got ties to pornography. That he invested some of his personal money into pornographic efforts and has, you know, profited handsomely from it. Now, you know, I'm not making the assumption that if you're, you know, part of the porn industry, you're necessarily a sex monger, but I think that it's not unfair to make that assumption.
So then it's fair to put a, you know, well, I guess it's not fair. It's still a little underhanded, but you're putting an ad out there asking for, you know, something that actually exists a little bit, like where there's smoke, there might be fire. There's never been smoke around Obama to say that he's done cocaine that I know of. So.
Well, you know, and certainly the conservative members of the audience, Jeff, are Googling it right now and will be sending me links to some false website where some guy named Bob Smith, you know, wrote a story that he heard from somebody who was there, whose cousin saw that the president, when he was 19, walked into a room where there happened to be cocaine. I know I'm going to get the stories because I'm sure that, you know, somebody manufactures this stuff. You know, I think this, again, and I know people hate when I say this, but I think it's true. I think the conservatives so despise the fact that a black man has succeeded as well as this one has in this country that they will do anything to see him fail and say anything to see him fail. Now listen, I'm going to be even fair about this. I think whoever ran that ad, Jeff, asking people to step forward if they've ever had sex with Rick Perry is wrong. I don't think they should have done that. Trust me, the media is all over this guy now. If there's something out there, there's no hiding anymore. Jeff, we know that in politics, there's no hiding at all. I get that. So you don't need to run an ad in the paper because there's going to be somebody that's going to come forward and say, yes, I had, you know, he raped me or he, you know, harassed me, whether it's true or not. And it's always going to be one of those things where it's going to be his word against her word. And the bottom line is it's going to happen anyway. So it was unnecessary. But Ann Coulter, really, do you really have to do that to the president? You know, put just kind of hint at something that doesn't exist. It's just wrong. Again, dude, Jeff, she makes millions of dollars off of hate speech. Did you ever finish her book, Demonic?
No, I read it for laughs. It's pretty interesting because you're right. She makes it completely off of hate. And the funny thing is everything she says, you can apply to both parties. You know, you can apply to the Republican Party just like you can for the Democrats.
But well, I think
we did have a phone call just now. Tim called and says, oh, it's true. True about Obama, but he doesn't have a website or anything to prove it. He just said he knows it's true.
Oh, and so this is the same Tim that wasn't going to listen to the show anymore. The same Tim that was barred from the show for being stupid. Right? Is that the Tim we're talking about?
Tim and Brownstown?
Yep. Okay. Tim, you know, there's going to be a new radio station starting soon that's all conservative. Start listening to them, all right? We don't need you anymore. We never did need you. Here he goes calling again. Dude, you're just stupid. I got to call it as I see it. The audience applauded when I barred you from the show. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. We have open lines the top of the hour. We're going to talk Libby at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310. WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Jim, why don't we do have one problem out there right now? The Lodge northbound, that exit ramp to Forest, is currently blocked because of a disabled truck. Aside from that, we are still looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high right around 82. Tonight, a warm front moves through. That's going to bring some showers and thunderstorms with it. Some of those storms could produce heavy rain. Mostly cloudy, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, some gusty winds out of the southwest, a high in the mid-80s. Mostly cloudy, though, and a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. More of First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, Visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trubiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour. There are reports rebel fighters in Libya are closing in on Muammar Gaddafi's compound in Tripoli. CNN's Arwood Damon says rebels control the airport, but they are getting resistance in other parts of the city.
They do control the runways. There are aircrafts on them from various countries. They control all the buildings in the airport compound. They're also telling us they have full control over all of the entrances, and they've got, they're telling us, security stations throughout. There are hundreds of fighters that are in this area.
Gaddafi is still hiding, but his eldest son says his father is safe. A monster hurricane could be near the coast of the southeastern U.S. later this week. Nancy Daly, who works at a store specializing in discount building supplies in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, says customers have been flooding in.
It is that time of year again, and of course it's the last minute. Now that we have a threat, everybody's here buying shutters.
Irene is heading towards the Bahamas. It could be near the Carolina coast by Saturday night. A moderate earthquake in Colorado overnight damaged some structures. The magnitude 5.3 quake was the strongest felt in the state in almost 40 years. A baby fell onto a sidewalk from the upper level of a parking garage in Southern California. Sergeant Dan Adams with the Orange County Police Department says they're treating this as a possible crime.
We have not identified the baby. We haven't identified anybody who may have been with the baby. From what we understand right now, the baby is approximately 1 to 3 months old.
The child is in critical condition. David Letterman joked on the CBS Late Show about the death threats made against him posted on an internet jihadist website.
They say the guy that issued the fatwa is an internet jihadist. Internet jihadist. And I said, well, heck, who says Obama isn't creating jobs? Right there.
The death threat urged jihadist followers to cut off Letterman's tongue and shut it forever. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
At Walgreens, I'm not just a prescription. I'm Claire, and my doctor told me I have high cholesterol. Suddenly, I have to think about what I can eat, how much I should exercise, how often I'll take my new medication.
Every prescription filled at Walgreens goes through a 10-point safeguard check that reviews your current Walgreens health record for allergies and potentially harmful drug interactions, because we know you have a lot on your mind. To learn more about our 10-point safeguard check, talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well.
My wife's monthly trip to the beauty salon was really adding up. I mean, between dyeing her roots and trimming the dead ends, we were going dead broke. So to save some money, I'm cutting it for her while she sleeps. Shh. No, don't wake up yet. Go to sleep, go to sleep. You're almost gorgeous. Oh, she is going to love this.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Every recent survey of economists is following a trend. The prospects of recession keep rising. This morning, an AP economist survey finds 26% think the U.S. will slip back into recession the next year. 2 months ago, 15% were predicting that. More magazines are coming to the Nook electronic reader. Time Warner striking a deal with Barnes & Noble. Time, People, Fortune, and Sports Illustrated are now on the Nook. Finally, a rival to Ticketmaster, big concert promoter AEG Live is launching a ticket-selling service which will challenge the runaway dominance Ticketmaster's enjoyed for years. Axis Ticketing, spelled AXS, will begin selling tickets for two events in Denver this weekend. By the end of next year, the plan is to have Axis Ticketing handle sales for all its 100 concert venues around the world. Speculation of further Fed stimulus is fueling a global market rally, and that's helping stock futures. S&P futures up 16, NASDAQ futures gaining 28. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
There are a million reasons Staples makes going back to school easy. Today's reason? Their incredible selection of Windows laptops. Perfect for your student. Now you don't have to hear.
You're giving me your old laptop, Mom? It's so big.
Or
the X key is missing. That's not an important letter.
Or our favorite.
Mom, what is a floppy disk?
So go to Staples for powerful and portable laptops from HP, Dell, and Toshiba. Even the amazing Samsung Princeton with the new Intel Core technology. Staples. That was easy.
Newman!
Yes, Mr. Fernwell?
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of those little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet!
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. Just after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Hope you're all having a great day as you're rising and shining to begin yet another Michigan morning. As I was saying in the first hour, I see leaves already changing color. It's the temperature-wise awfully autumnal this morning, and I'm not minding that a whole lot. I happen to like the fall. We're going to be open lines this first half hour. Bottom of the hour, we will be joined by Sarah, let me get it right now, Margon. We're talking about what's going on in Libya. A lot of questions, and she'll have a lot of answers. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. We're going to be covering the Central Michigan University strike. Teachers are professors forced back to work by a judge in Isabella County. Linda Fry will be joining us, the president of their association. And, of course, Chris Mihalakis with the United Food and Commercial Workers will be with us this morning. Talk about a rally that happened last Saturday that, of course, the media doesn't cover, but we do. We do. I mean, there's just certain stuff that needs to be taken care of, and unfortunately, we seem to be the only ones that get that. And so we are open lines in this first half hour, so let me get that information out there. If you want to join us, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. And again, we're offering to let you submit questions or comments via Twitter, and that's at Tony Trupiano, at Tony Trupiano, TonyTrupiano. And that would be Jeff's preferred way of you contacting the show. He's just trying to move me into a new millennia. And I appreciate that. So I'm going.
Did you see the Nate Burleson on Friday night?
No.
Against the Browns, he scored a touchdown, and then in Cleveland, he mocked the Cleveland fans by doing an imitation of LeBron James when he did that powder thing, you know, before he started.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
All right. So yesterday on Twitter, my friend was sending me messages on Twitter and using Nate Burleson's name. And Nate Burleson actually saw it and retweeted it and sent my friend an answer, which I thought was pretty cool. That you can, that's how cool Twitter is you can actually talk and have a conversation with Nate Burleson himself.
Well, I do know that if somebody tweets my name, I do get an email that says, you know, somebody mentioned you or somebody tweeted about you, whatever it says. So, yeah, I mean, I'm aware of that. I just don't get very many of them. People aren't retweeting what I do. I'll be all right. But our followers, Jeff, are up to 95 now. since we started at zero. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't really push it much except for the last few days. So.
No, that's really good then.
You know, well, you're here every day. You know I haven't really pushed it much. I did at the beginning. I guess I just kind of let it go. But I appreciate, you know, you pushing me into a new technology age. I do. Let me remind you, we've got a First Shift Facebook poll question today. Courtesy of producer extraordinaire Jeff Radford, and he wanted me to ask you, so I have. If President Obama were a Republican, the Republicans would be saying what? And we've got a list of suggestions. Some of you have added to that list, so feel free to go check that out. We also have a caption contest again this morning, and we have posted a picture. It's actually a copy of a letter from Congressman Alan West, and of course, the winner of that caption contest will receive two First Shift coffee mugs. You'll also get a First Shift pen and some bumper stickers. So there are two places you can actually post your captions. I've got it posted twice, so go check it out. And before the end of the show, Jeff and Todd will judge which one they think is best. And we didn't have anybody post in the last hour, so your chances of winning are pretty darned good. So get on there and do that. We are going to get to the phones. Again, 888-552-3595. Toll-free number. Happy to pick up the cost of the call. And let's go to Jim in Novi. Jim, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Tony, I remember I talked about bridge last time. I got a bridge update for you.
Let's hear it.
What?
I said, let's hear it.
Governor Snyder is on his way to China to get Chinese steel and Chinese design for the bridge.
No, we don't want that. Thank you very much, Jim. We don't need Chinese steel. We don't need Chinese design.
But that's what's going to happen. His bridge is well underway, as you might know.
Well, they haven't broke ground on the bridge. They haven't approved the bridge. So
yeah, just about.
Well, I mean, I'm not reading. I mean, give me your source of information, because the last I read was that they had that little last week. They had all the lawmakers come to the bridge site on both sides of the river, and all that came out of that is that they were all still saying, we don't know what we're going to do. And then the governor says this week, oh, don't worry, we'll get this passed. So what do you know that I don't? Which is probably a lot.
I heard on Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7. It's well underway.
All right. Well, again, I appreciate the update, Jim, and I appreciate the phone call. Hopefully, we'll find out what it's well underway means, because I don't know what that means. I'm not opposed to the new bridge at all. In fact, I'm very much in favor of the new bridge. I'm not even opposed to the Maroon family building it at this point, because somebody's got to do it. I am very much in favor of a competitive open bidding process going on, and I don't know why that hasn't even happened at this point. But, yeah, I'm not opposed to the bridge at all. I would like to see it happen, and they need to do it. It's going to create a lot of dynamic jobs. It'll change the Delray area of Detroit for the better, especially if they follow the guidelines that State Rep. Rashida Tlaib has put out there in her proposed legislation. So that's a good thing, and it really could be a very dynamic and positive influence on the in Southwest Detroit. So anyway, feel free to join us. Again, we're open lines till the bottom of the hour, 888-552-3595. We'll go to Mac in Bloomfield. Mac, welcome to First Shift, and good morning to you.
Good morning. I've been listening to you on and off for the last few months. Did you read President Obama's autobiography, Dreams of My Father?
I did not.
Okay, well, in that book, President Obama himself admitted using cocaine on numerous times. Now, you can say that's just some bunch of crap, but you can look that up.
No, Mark, I'm not questioning you. If the president said he used cocaine, in fact, I was saying to Jeff and Todd during the break, I mean, if he used it, he used it. I don't think that this is a habitual problem for him. But anyway, go ahead. Your point?
Well, no. You said that where did Ann Coulter come up with that?
Did he have a Coke dealer, or did he occasionally?
Well, he must have bought it from somebody.
Well, not necessarily. No. I'm not even assuming he bought it. I mean, listen,
okay.
I used to smoke a lot of pot. I didn't buy it all. Sometimes people had it, and I would smoke it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think George Bush would have been elected president if it had been a fact that he had used cocaine?
Well, it is a fact that he used cocaine. And
no,
it wasn't
not a fact.
Yeah, it is a fact.
His ex-sister-in-law alleged it one time.
Well, you know, let's understand one thing about politics. I'm not that concerned that President Clinton did or did not inhale. I know that the president, he admitted it himself, that he had a drinking problem. And, you know, there was this all this concerned is, was he a dry drunk? I gave President Bush, in fact, pat him on the back for admitting that he had had an alcohol problem and that he was dealing with it and that he continued to get counseling for it. You know, so I don't have a problem with people's pasts. It's what they do, you know, moving forward, moving beyond the problem. Now, if the president at one point, President Obama, were a coke addict, I would have never voted for the guy. All right, I would have never voted for the guy, and I'll be honest, I didn't vote for George Bush, and it had nothing to do with his alcohol addiction. It had to do with our political differences, but if I were Republican, Mac, that would have factored in. I'll be honest with you, it would have factored in.
Well, no, the only reason I'm calling is because you said, well, where did Ann Coulter come up with this idea that President Obama had used cocaine?
No, that's not what she said. We need to find his coke dealer is what she said. And I don't know that he had a coke dealer. That's all I'm saying, you know. And that's all I'm saying. Listen, people are human. You know, people are human.
I've just run into so many people that have selective amnesia about President Obama's cocaine use. They say, what do you mean he never used cocaine? He wrote it in his own book.
Well, you know, and again, I didn't read it, Mac. I'm not questioning that he did it.
Another thing I can't understand is I haven't read Dreams of My Father, but I'm an independent. I'm not a Democrat. And I talk to a lot of Democrats who are very avid supporters of Obama, and none of them have ever read his book. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why haven't they read his book? Oh, actually, he's got two books.
Yeah, he does have two, The Audacity of Hope, and yeah.
Right, I just don't understand that. I mean, I read Profiles in Courage when I was like 11 years old. I was a Kennedy kid. You know?
Well, and I was a Kennedy kid, too. And, you know, I miss, you know, there's that, Mac, that romantic part of politics. Now, listen, what we know about the Kennedy family now, I didn't know back then. And I probably wouldn't have understood it, even if I did know it. But there was that romanticized version of what the Kennedy-esque thing was that really excited me. I mean, it turned me on to politics. As a sixth grader, you know, there was just something about the Kennedy mystique that appealed to me. And so that's where my original interest in politics came from. And it was, to me, very interesting. Mac, I appreciate the call. I truly do, and enjoyed the dialogue. Thank you so much. Pat and Dearborn, stay on the line. We will get to you on the other side of this break. Yeah, good discussion. Absolutely good discussion. You know, again, I never said he didn't do it. I just don't think the guy had a coke dealer. I don't think that this was... You know, I think he called it, what, a youthful indiscretion? Somebody just emailed me? Absolutely. So, anyway, we'll talk about this more on the other side. Pat, stay with us. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. Tony Trupiano with you on this beautiful Tuesday morning in Detroit. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Got some minor delays on Sunderland southbound as you get close to 696 and the Lodge. Northbound, that exit ramp to 4 is still blocked by that disabled truck. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the lower 80s. Tonight, some showers and thunderstorms will move in. Mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, again, a chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-80s. Currently, it's fair and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble, real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible, especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Democrats are talking about job creation. Republicans are talking about how to protect the wealthiest Americans. How are we going to begin to bridge that gap?
That's what Democrats are for. President Obama from day one has been focused on getting our economy turned around. We've gone from bleeding 750,000 plus jobs a month to now, every month for the last 15 months, we've had job growth in the private sector.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Tuesday morning. Again, we're open lines to the bottom of the hour, when we'll talk about the situation unfolding in Libya, and it is changing by the minute. So you'll have up-to-date information as we work our way through this morning. Want to remind you to join us. It's real simple. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's go to the phones and welcome Pat in Dearborn. Pat, welcome to First Shift, and good morning to you.
Hi, hello, Tony. Nice talking to you again.
Thank you.
Just a question. If the president admitted in his book, and the name escaped me, I'm sorry, that he may have tried cocaine, why didn't they bring it up 4 years ago?
You know, it did come up 4 years ago. During the break, I went online, and absolutely, it was an issue. It was not a big issue. Because it was nothing more than what he called an indiscretion in his past. It wasn't a habitual thing, Pat. It was something he tried. So, and he admitted that he tried it. That's pretty much the story, Pat. That's why it wasn't a big deal.
Okay, you know, is there nothing that they won't stop at, the Republicans and the conservative right?
Absolutely not.
There's nothing that will satisfy these carnivorous fools. I don't understand.
Pat, they don't like the idea that a well-educated, well-spoken black man succeeded in this country and was as popular as he was. You know, let us remind people that he won the presidency handily over John McCain.
Uh-huh.
That there was such a feeling of hope in this country with his election that the first thing that Mitch McConnell said literally a half an hour after on Election Day said he was focused on one thing and one thing only, and that was to make sure that Obama would be a one-term president. From minute one, Pat.
I've been voting now. It's going on almost 4 years. It's been 38 years, and I've never in my life have ever seen any political party go after someone running for president or a sitting president like this in my entire life.
You know, Pat, I shared a story with this audience a month ago about a man who makes a death threat against the president in California. Maybe it wasn't California, but he makes a death threat against the president, and the judge lets him off. What president? I mean, you make a death threat against the president, it's an immediate arrest, and you go to jail. You don't get to make threats against the president of the United States. You know what the judge said? It was his First Amendment right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now the First Amendment is a good thing.
Well,
for the,
it's always the First Amendment's an awesome tool, especially when you need it. You know, that's the thing about conservatives. All of the amendments are only good if you need them. If they're not, then they're bad. You know, they hold on to that Second Amendment like someone's trying to take it away from them. Nobody's ever tried to take the Second Amendment away from anybody, but they act like we do. You know, Pat, it's disingenuous. It is disgusting. It is insulting the way they've treated this president. And that's why we just have to stay focused on the things that we know are right and to continue to push. We need to get people registered to vote, and we need to make sure we do the right thing in 2012.
That's right. I'm with you on that, Tony.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
You bet, Pat. I appreciate the call. I mean, that's a simple reality.
I'll say this much, though. To Mac's call, Tony, he said that you had said that he didn't do. I threw the question out there. I did. I said I didn't remember, Obama being connected to cocaine at all. And Max said, well, selective amnesia, call it what you will. I didn't remember. I read the book, Dreams of My Father. I read both of them, and I didn't. It wasn't like the prevailing thought in the book. It was thrown in there as, in my youth, real quick, threw it in there, admitted it, and moved on. So I guess maybe I have selective amnesia. I didn't remember that part of the book, but I was the one who threw it out there because I just thought, is this a baseless claim? Apparently it wasn't so.
Well, and how about the fact that because it was such an insignificant part of the book, you just didn't, it just didn't retain that information. It's called being human, Jeff.
Well, and I think some people who didn't read the book, it's not selective amnesia. It's just you didn't know. So how could you know?
Listen, Jeff, we've been together almost 4 months now, and you've been here every time when someone's tried to get that gotcha moment out of me. There are no gotcha moments, folks. I'm not totally enamored to anybody. Somebody does something wrong, I'll admit it. If I don't know something, I admit it. So this idea that you're going to catch me at something just blows my mind. Because if I haven't demonstrated at this point that I'm fair, I don't know what else I can do. Jeff, rumor out there, John Fugelsang actually just tweeted that Sarah Palin will announce on September 3rd that she is going to throw her hat in the ring as a candidate for the president of the United States. Now, don't know where he gets that information.
Carl Rove said it.
All right. So, anyway, she's going to be back in Iowa, and the Iowa Tea Party gave her a little present. This is what it sounds like.
Well, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have you given us?
A republic, madam. If you can keep it.
We are fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
No, we must restore America and restore
America. It's time, America. It's time to take a stand and restore this great nation. Tea Party of America is hosting, on September 3rd, a Restoring America event. Come on out to the National Balloon Classic Field off Highway 92, just south of Des Moines in Indianola. Governor Sarah Palin will be the keynote speaker. Tea Party of America will be joining with you to take our nation back. The event starts at 11 a.m. It's free. It's time to get involved. Be there early. The gates will open at 8 a.m. RSVP at teapartyofamerica.org. Patriots, we'll see you there. Paid for by Tea Party of America. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right. Come on. All right. You know, does anybody else have a problem with somebody that quit her job to go make money? Because that's what she did. Her quit her job as governor of Alaska so she could go out and become a millionaire. And that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly why she did it. The woman's a quitter. How could anybody take her seriously as a politician?
Or as Alaskans would call her, a sellout.
She is a sellout, although she did live across the street from Russia. And there is that. I cannot take her seriously. You know, we can. This isn't even about her intellect. That's not what this is about. This is about pure politics. And she is hollow. She's a hollow promise is what she is. She has absolutely no record on which we can look at and investigate and tear apart and say, yeah, you know, when she was the mayor of Willissa, because that's certainly no correlation between that and being the president of the United States. She has no international foreign policy experience, nor does Michelle Bachmann. How can anybody take Sarah Palin seriously as a candidate? I don't get it. All right, we got to take a quick break for the bottom of the hour. We come back, we're going to update what's going on in Libya. You'll want to stay tuned for that. The CMU professor strike over temporarily. We'll get you caught up on that. And Chris Mihalakis with us a little bit later on in the show. So a lot to get to as we work our way through this first shift program. Tony Trupiano with you. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at some slowdowns out there on the freeway. 75 southbound between 12 Mile down to 8 Mile. You'll be tapping the brakes a couple of times. Same goes for 676 westbound between Cousins and I-75. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high near 82. Tonight, a warm front moves through. It's going to bring some rain and clouds with it. A chance of a shower, thunderstorm likely after 10 o'clock. Then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high around 86, but some gusty winds out of the southwest. Going to bring in some thunderstorms as well. Currently, it's fair and 60 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More first shift coming up after this.
2011 was a good year for Chevy, but don't take our word for it. 5 IIH Stop Safety Picks, a bunch of prestigious awards, and 2011 North American Car of the Year, the Chevy Model Year Wrap-Up. Get in on our greatest model year yet.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
The battle continues, and we must stay united until we get a fair contract. I want to thank all of my union brothers and sisters, both from landline and the wireless side, for their support in this fight. This is a true David and Goliath story being played out right now. David will once again win.
CWA Local 1101's Danny Gutierrez on the Verizon strike ending today. Striking Verizon workers return to work today under indefinite extensions of their existing collective bargaining agreements. Communications Workers of America President Larry Cohen says the unity that striking CWA and IBEW workers demonstrated in their two-week strike will continue, along with continued union mobilization, until the new collective bargaining agreement is won at Verizon.
That will go on not only until we have a decent contract, but until working people feel like they can join a union, any union, and bargain with their head held high across this country. We should return united as much as we can, marching in together, literally, at the start of a shift. For now, our unity will be to support the bargaining team and to show it. But if that process doesn't work in the weeks ahead, management absolutely knows that that unity will again be directed at them.
Cohen says the unions and working Americans everywhere need to build a new democracy movement to battle corporate power's assault on the middle class. Miles Calvi is IBEW Local 2222 business manager.
In good faith, we've decided to have our members go back and see if we can at least change the process. The process up to this point has been 100% concessionary, and as we explained to the company, even if we were crazy enough to come to a tentative agreement, it would never be accepted by the membership, so it was a complete waste of time.
He says a company like Verizon, with more than $106 billion a year in revenue, can't just dump health care costs on the backs of workers.
What a
corporation that brings in $107 billion a year and has operating income profits of over $3 billion, if they decide that they're not going to help out on the health care issues, then we are in serious trouble.
Kelvey says as Verizon workers get back to work and collective bargaining resumes, the public can help the unions build a democracy movement that defends the dream of a strong American middle class.
Any communication they have with Verizon, just tell them how outrageous it was that it wasn't just an attack on their employees, it's an attack on the middle class in this country.
The AFL-CIO is submitting more than 21,000 public comments from workers who want to see new NLRB union election rules adopted. The proposed rules would speed up union elections and help ensure that workers who want to vote to have a union have a fair choice. The AFL-CIO says working people overwhelmingly support the new NLRB election standards, despite a torrent of politically motivated attacks on the rules from companies and anti-union organizations. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. Tony Trupiano with you. As promised, we're going to get real serious here real fast. Any of you that have been paying attention to the news, and I would hope that's all of you, to be honest, know that there's a situation that is unfolding by the minute in Libya. And to try to stay current on it is certainly not impossible in this news age where we get 24/7 news. But there are a lot of questions that come with that. So let me turn to somebody that can help us walk through all of what's going on. We are at 7:36 on a Tuesday morning. Joining me now is Sarah Margon. Sarah is the Associate Director of the Sustainable Security and Peacebuilding Initiative at the Center for American Progress. Before joining the Center for American Progress, Sarah was a Senior Foreign Policy Advisor to Senator Russ Feingold, and she joins us this morning to talk about what is going on in Libya. And Sarah, I appreciate you making the time to be with us on this early morning.
Happy to be here.
President Obama calls this a tipping point for the people of Libya. Sarah, as we take a look at what's going on, even as we speak, we know Tripoli is not quite secure yet. We don't know where Muammar Gaddafi is at this moment, unless something's changed in the last 30 seconds, because I got my eyes peeled to the TV here. If you were assessing what's happening on the ground, are you confident that we are, you know, maybe hours, maybe days away from this being over and a new story gets to be told at that point?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, as President Obama also said from his vacation in Martha's Vineyard, the situation's really fluid. I do think we're moving forward. I think it's probably a question of days, not hours or minutes. The situation will probably get worse, and we'll see more bloodshed before it gets better.
Well, I don't know that will come as a surprise to anybody, but, you know, something remarkable is kind of unfolding now, and I really want people kind of to live in this moment, because I think as we look at what's happened in this entire region, you know, this will be, I believe, the third dictator to fall in the last year. I think, Sarah, unless I'm seeing this wrong, this idea, and I'm not talking about American democracy, but this idea of democracy seems to be something that people feel finally, especially in the Middle East, that they can own, that democracy is something that is possible suddenly.
I think that's exactly right. And I think what we're seeing, and I think, again, the president said it incredibly well, we're seeing human dignity, Trump, authoritarian regimes. These are parts of the world that have been so tightly ruled for so many decades. In the case of Libya, it's been over 40 years that Gaddafi's been running this country in a completely repressive environment. And we are seeing, with the support of many regional and international actors, we are seeing the Libyan opposition do what it intended to do. And it is incredible to watch. And so I do think we're seeing a turning point, but we're just not quite at that final moment yet.
Well, and again, the what's important to remember is that this is a turning point and that there's going to be a transition. I heard a news story very early this morning when I got up and I was listening, that there has been succession planning
been going on now for a couple months, that they, you know, they've even considered things like, you know, waste removal in city services, that there was a concerted effort to make sure that when we got to quote unquote that point, that there would be at least the semblance of order. And I think that's critical moving forward.
You're absolutely right, and I actually have a piece up on the American Center for American Progress website that links to the interim constitution that's being floated. And I, you know, the question of public order and security right now is very important. The Transitional National Council is going to have to expand its authority throughout the entire country once Gaddafi has actually fallen, and they're going to have to be inclusive of all Libyans, which they certainly have intended to do in their rhetoric, but that will include some of Gaddafi's loyalists. And so going forward, how they begin to work with all the disparate parties, all the different tribes is going to be critical in the days and weeks that follow Gaddafi's fall if we are to see Libya move forward and the opposition actually have an opportunity to implement some of those plans that you just mentioned.
Well, and certainly one of the questions that's fair to ask is what will the U.S. role, or will that be a NATO role or a U.N. role, but what will the role of the U.S. be moving forward once that final tipping point is over?
Yeah, it's a really important question. We've seen a lot of commitment language from both parties here in Washington. The president has extended ongoing friendship, as have a number of senior Republicans in the Senate. And I think it's a great opportunity to move past some of the partisan bickering that we've been seeing for a long time and figure out how to work collectively to ensure we support the Libyans in their decision and provide all the technical advice and assistance that they request. The United Nations is another wonderful opportunity with deep expertise in post-conflict reconstruction and transitional government to provide the support and expertise that they may be looking for.
You know, I heard Lawrence Korb, your colleague, on with Ed Schultz yesterday, and he said that money really isn't going to be an issue for the U.S. in this particular instance, because the Libyans, you know, because of oil, have money. So the money's not the issue. But, you know,
right.
Sarah, where there's money, there's problems.
That's true, and I think one of the key issues going forward is going to be figuring out how to get the oil and gas sectors back online in a way that ensures accountable and transparent management of these incredibly valuable resources. Infrastructure needs to be updated, but they, if I'm not mistaken, are the 12th greatest oil exporting country in the world. So there's tremendous potential for the revenue that they bring in to help move the transition forward. There's also a lot of Gaddafi family money that can be unfrozen at various points throughout the world, billions and billions of dollars. So my colleague Larry is right. It's not going to be a financial problem in terms of how Libya gets the money, but I think there are obviously questions of absorption, transparency, and accountability. And so key for the opposition will be setting up the proper management and accounting from a very early stage.
My guest again, Sarah Margon, she is the Associate Director of Sustainable Security with the Center for American Progress. You're going to find them online at AmericanProgress.org or Think Progress, which is just amazing amount of information there, folks. You really do you'll need to check it out. Sarah, as we kind of take a look going forward, what do we know about the rebel forces? What do we know about their leadership? And again, you know, we're not talking about two political parties here and one of them winning and one of them losing. We're talking about a different culture. We're talking about tribal factions. You know, there's a lot more to this than what the American people think of as democracy. What do we know about the leadership that has been recognized to this point?
You know, I think we're going to see as things play out. They have been recognized by the United States, by a host of other governments. I saw this morning they were recognized by Nigeria, one of the first African countries on the continent to recognize the new leadership, which is a very important step forward. But we have to remember that they are transitional. Right now they are comprised of defectors from the Gaddafi regime and dissidents who had left the country at various points. They are to push forward a political process to help the transition forward. So they are not intended to run the country forever. And that's going to be very, very important to watch as we move forward to make sure that as they build
the political engagement and the process, and they extend their inclusivity to the many, many different groups and tribes that exist in Libya and bring them into the process, that they recognize and are continually communicating their transitional nature, so that the Libyan people feel they have a reason to engage and a reason to vote for, at the appropriate period, their own government.
Well, you know, and I just saw the headline, didn't have a chance to look any deeper, so I'll just throw it out there and then get to my question. John McCain, the headline is, John McCain, this should have happened sooner, quote unquote. My question is, from a domestic standpoint, from a domestic political standpoint, how important is it to the international community that this be a nonpartisan issue, that America, as America, steps forward and embraces this extremely critical moment in international history?
You know, I think it's really important, and I think rising above partisan politics would be a wonderful thing for the American people to see. And I, particularly because, as you mentioned before, we don't actually have to funnel a lot of cash towards Libya if we move in the right direction. Questions about whether or not we should have done this early or not seem a little bit unnecessary to me. We are at a tipping point. The Obama administration did an incredible job realizing that, given our domestic and other international priorities, that the way to move forward on Libya was to shore up support for a really strong international coalition that included not only the United Nations and the Arab League, but the NATO military alliance. With all of that support, I think the Obama administration has done a pretty impressive job in helping to guide, expand, and make sure that the international community works together. Well, I think that's what's important going forward.
Yeah, and you know, again, I think that because we have such a narrow vision in this country of what success means, and I don't think that we often understand, you know, how important this moment is in time. You know, we often look at, you know, what happened in Iraq, and, you know, who doesn't remember those pictures of Saddam's statue being pulled down by these massive ropes and the people going crazy, only to find out that that was the beginning of utter, distress and decay and dysfunction.
That's right.
And it doesn't have to look that way, is my point.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, our credibility has been on the line around the world for a very long time because of our actions in Iraq, because of our early abandonment of Afghanistan, and the way that the last administration behaved towards many countries in the world. And so I think we need to recognize that this is not just about the U.S. marching in and doing what it wants. The decisions that are going to be made in Libya are Libyan decisions, and we have an important supporting role to play in helping them achieve the kind of country they're looking to achieve.
Absolutely. Sarah Margon, again, Associate Director for Sustainable Security. Thank you for being with us. If you don't mind, we'd like to reach back out to you in the coming days to make sure that we're on top of this.
Sure thing. Look forward to it.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much. Again, if you want more information, we've got it posted to the Facebook page. Tony Trupiano with you. We'll take a quick break. Open lines on the other side of this, 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDPW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Blue notebooks, red folders, a yellow highlighter, pink diamond nail polish. Lauren Lockwood's little girl is starting fourth grade, so Lauren got everything on her school supply list in one quick, easy trip to Walgreens. The nail polish? That's her little reward for making it through summer. Now through Saturday, four packs of Kleenex brand facial tissue are $3.50 with in-ad coupon, and Colgate 8-ounce toothpaste is just $1.99. Simplify your shopping. With Walgreens, there's a way.
Recently on First Shift.
Bob King, president of the United Auto Workers. Retirees are reaching out to me this morning as well, Bob, and wanting to know if you're going to protect their interests in this latest round of negotiations with the auto companies.
We greatly honor and respect our retirees, so we've always been very strong in the passion to support and help retirees. We are very, very mindful of our retirees and helping them and honoring all the contributions they've made.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on 1310. WDTW.
Yeah, again, my thanks to Sarah Margon with the Center for American Progress. You know, what is going on in Libya is a huge story. And I know that we have a tendency to focus on local and national issues, as we should. I'm not saying that there's something necessarily wrong with that. But from an international perspective, this is about as big as it gets. Certainly the rebel forces and the victory that has happened there, or at least early on, and as she what cautioned us at the very beginning of the interview that we had together, there will be much more bloodshed before this is done. Colonel Muammar Gaddafi still has to be captured, although his sons have been detained. He has not been captured yet. And again, it's a little difficult for me. I do have a television on in the studio, but I certainly have to be careful that I don't spend so much time watching TV that I'm not paying attention to what we're doing here. But as news breaks, we will bring it to you. This is an important story, and I'm glad we're covering this kind of thing. And I hope that you folks understand why it's important that we understand what's happening, not only in our own backyard, but in the backyards, thousands upon thousands of miles away, because ultimately everything impacts what we do here in the United States. Somebody had posted to the Facebook page, and I just saw it, so I wanted to share with you. And here's the headline. Ku Klux Klan says it doesn't condone Tea Party or Koran burning. And, you know, the question, of course, is, maybe you have gone over the edge, as this thing says, or gone off the deep end, when even the KKK doesn't like what you're doing. I'm going to let that speak for itself, all right? I'm just going to let that speak for itself. But if the KKK thinks that you're a little off, I'm just saying. You know, we've had two people actually call the show, identify themselves as Tea Party members. One of them sounded almost reasonable. And I don't mean that in a disingenuous way. The other one was just whacked out. The dude was just whacked out and, you know, acted like that image we have of what a Tea Party guy is. And I played a little bit earlier on that 60-second commercial that the Iowa Tea Party folks did for Sarah Palin, who is supposedly going to announce her candidacy on September 3rd. Whether she does or not, I don't know. I did notice that in that it said this is a free event. That is kind of critical because as a candidate, you can't profit off a campaign event. So that's, you know, unless it's a fundraiser and you've got to be a candidate in order to have a fundraiser. I mean, there's that process. So anyway, this is all very interesting. But when we were talking yesterday on the show about, you know, will there be other candidates? Is this field settled yet? I meant, like, realistic candidates, people that could actually get elected. I mean, Sarah Palin can't get elected. So I find it interesting that she thinks all of a sudden in her mind, you know, Well, obviously, the reasonable people will vote for me. Reasonable, define that word reasonable. A little bit odd. Just a little bit odd, but I think everything that Sarah Palin does is a little bit odd, and I'll move on from there. Let me just bring it back home for a minute. Some new polling numbers are out on Governor Rick Snyder, and I thought I would share them with you. As of yesterday, a poll indicates Michigan voters remain disenchanted with the job being done by Governor Rick Snyder. In the survey released yesterday by Lansing-based Epic MRA, 33% gave the GOP governor a positive job rating, while 62% gave him a negative rating and 5% were undecided. The results were virtually unchanged from Epic MRA's July poll. 42% of those polled last week said they have a favorable opinion of the governor, while the same percentage have an unfavorable opinion. 31% say the state is headed in the right direction, while 54% say it is on the wrong track, and 15% are undecided, similar to the July findings. The August 13th through 16th poll of 600 likely voters with a margin of error plus or minus 4 percentage points. So we see that the governor continues to be, and this is what's interesting about this poll, is that we've been on summer recess as a legislature now for weeks. So he's not doing anything to really piss people off. And we still don't like him when he's doing nothing. So I think that really, listen, I've been doing talk radio a long time. Normally in off, quote unquote, off months, like, you know, vacation months, especially at the state level, you know, the governor's favorability rating normally goes up because they're doing summery stuff. They're showing up at fairs and picnics and, you know, so people just see them, you know, eating an ice cream cone or, you know, wolfing down a corn dog, whatever it is for you. So normally you see a little bump in those numbers, but you don't see that with this governor, which means the hangover effect is not working for him. Now, they'll be back to work here in a couple weeks. And I'll bet you that his numbers just plummet when they start working again. But here's the thing I'm asking you to watch. I think there's a fissure between the governor's office and the state Republican Party. The state Republican Party is extremely right-wing conservative. They are Tea Party at their best. Anybody that watched the Harvey Santana, Tom McMillan, quote-unquote, debate on Channel 7 the other day about Sharia law, I mean, Harvey kicked his ass. He kicked his ass and really showed McMillan for the douche that he is, because he is. He was obviously very nervous. He was shaking his foot the whole time, shaking his leg the whole time, you know, using the same soundbite. And again, that's what conservatives do. They just use the same soundbite over and over and over and over and over again. You know, Harvey made complete sense. Glad he called him out for what he was. A right-wing whack job. But, you know, I find this really interesting. I think the governor is, honestly, I don't think he's as conservative as the state party is. And I don't think the governor really knows what his political depth is at this point. I really don't. We're about to find out, or he's about to find out, one or the other. But they're stuck with each other. Now, when I say there's going to be a fissure, that division, I have no idea how that will manifest itself. I really don't. But I don't think it's ending up going to be good for the state. You know, it's Ronald Reagan's thing. It's really bad when the right hand doesn't know what the extreme right hand is doing. There could be some truth to that with this state Republican Party. The extreme right hand, I don't think, is telling the right hand of the party what they're doing. I don't think they're on the same page. I know they're not on the same page with the bridge. You know, we got that call earlier. You know, it's a done deal. They're already doing work on it. I don't see that happening. I don't think it is a done deal yet. I don't think they are doing work on that. That's just my opinion. All right. So, Governor, you got your problems. The polls tell us we just don't like you. I'm sorry. We don't. I'm not sorry. We don't like you. All right, a quick break here. When we come back, Linda Fry will join us, get us caught up in what's happening at Central Michigan University, Chris Mialakis with the UFCW, and, of course, your calls, questions, and concerns. Let's take the break. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano on First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking at that problem out there on 75, that Dix Highway ramp to northbound 75 is currently closed because of an accident. Also, we got an accident out there on 696 westbound at Southfield Road. Right lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up to Coolidge. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 82. Tonight, some showers and storms roll in. Mostly cloudy otherwise. A low around 66. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. A high near 86. Currently, it's fair and 59 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift come up after the top of the hour.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, rebels in Libya say they are attacking Muammar Gaddafi's compound in Tripoli. Middle East expert Reza Aslan says Gaddafi is losing his grip on Libya fast.
I think there's one thing that we can be absolutely certain about. 6 months ago, Muammar Gaddafi controlled the entire country. Today, he controls a few scattered neighborhoods in Tripoli. So the end is near.
Two of Gaddafi's sons, who rebels said were in custody, are actually still free. One of them says their father is safe and still in power. The UN is going to investigate possible human rights violations in Syria. A resolution passed today, a day after the UN announced more than 2,200 people have been killed in Syria since a crackdown on protesters started in March. Hurricane Irene is threatening several islands in the Caribbean Sea.
We do have hurricane warnings up for the northern coast of Dominican Republic, as well as the southeastern and central Bahamas. We think that Irene will continue moving to the west-northwest and northwest over the next couple of days, and possibly strengthening to a major hurricane.
Hurricane forecaster Robbie Burke says Irene could be near the Carolina coast by Saturday. The sex assault case against former IMF chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn might be dropped at a hearing today. CNN's Susan Candiotti reports prosecutors in New York no longer have faith in the accuser.
In terms of the credibility issues, they said, in their words, she simply wasn't truthful in matters big and small. And when it came down to it, they couldn't prove that a rape occurred. There wasn't enough physical evidence, and therefore the case would simply come down to a he said, she said.
Motown legend Nicholas Ashford died after battling throat cancer. He was one half of the singer-songwriter duo of Ashford and Simpson, who were responsible for writing a string of hits, including Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple. Drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
I'm in the I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High hopes are being placed upon the Fed that once again Chief Ben Bernanke will unveil as soon as this week another round of monetary stimulus in the form of a third bond buyback most would call QE3, or maybe even something more creative. As that hope gets more feverish, stock markets around the world have heated up. S&P futures right now gaining 14. NASDAQ futures up 28. Dow futures up 129 after most Asian and European markets advanced 1 to 2%. Hope for stimulus stems in part from fading hope for the economy. This morning, 26% of economists surveyed by AP predict another recession in the next 12 months. That is up from 15% predicting recession just 2 months ago. Score one for Barnes & Noble. The company is striking a deal likely to further strengthen its Nook electronic reader's future. Time Warner's magazine division making its titles available on the Nook. Time, Fortune, Sports Illustrated, and People are available as we speak. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout and think a few attacks a year are all you have to worry about, think again. Fact is, gout can attack silently, even between flares. You may not feel it, but gout's root cause, high uric acid, can allow crystals to continuously form and build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. Get more information at goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
How do you make car care simple? Put all the experts you need under one roof. That's how Midas works. Whether it's oil changes, brakes, alignments, or advanced engine diagnostics, the choice is simple. Drive all over town or head to Midas, where you'll find technicians trained on state-of-the-art equipment, all in one convenient location. How's that for making car care simple? Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Visit us at Midas.com.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
Welcome, everybody. Tony Tripiano back with you on this Tuesday morning. And we have, this is an important hour of radio. Chris Mihalakis is with me. We'll get to him in just a few moments. But as many of you know, and as we've been talking all morning long, a judge in Isabella County ordered the professors at Central Michigan University back to work. And indeed, they are honoring that court decision and are going back to work. Let me get to my guest because she's very busy and has a lot going on. Joining me now is Linda Fry, who is the president of the Faculty Association at Central Michigan University. And Linda, I want to thank you for, Laura, I want to thank you for giving us some time this morning to update this audience on what is happening. And good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and good morning to your listening viewers, and thank you for your support for CMU Faculty Association.
Well, you know, we of course, spent a considerable amount of time talking about this yesterday morning, and we're very supportive of the yesterday striking faculty. Today, going back to work, give this audience an indication of what happened as you worked through the day yesterday and why you made the decision to honor that order.
Well, first of all, I just want to state my overwhelming pride in the CMU faculty and thanking so much the students who supported us and this community. This is one fantastic faculty association. And as you know, we went out on work stoppage due to the unfair labor practices that we have filed on the CMU administration. And as we have always stated, we do not take illegal actions. We do follow the law. And when the judge, when the order was signed, I told our membership we would go back. We honor the judge's order, and we do follow the law, which is why the CMU administration is stating lies, and they are continuing to spin the truth. There was nothing illegal about what the CMU faculty did in implementing a work stoppage on Monday.
And on Friday, I do need to point out, Laura, to this audience, on Friday you get an opportunity to express the truth of what's going on and why you know that you were factually correct in this labor stoppage. So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen on Friday morning.
Well, to tell you the truth, this is new territory for me. This is the first work stoppage in the history of CMU for the Faculty Association, and it's my first time in court being ordered and standing before a judge in regards to a restraining order. We have wonderful legal support from MEA, so our legal team will be presenting the case and, in fact, debunking the consistent lies and manipulations by President Ross and the CMU administration in regards to us taking any illegal action. So, in essence, that's what our legal team will be doing.
But, you know, and just let me, for the audience's sake, Laura Fry, let me remind everybody, Laura Fry is with me, the president of the Faculty Association at Central Michigan University. I've been reading about this all summer long. Anybody that's paying attention to what's happening there knows that there has been an ongoing collective bargaining process that the administration has been trying to derail almost at every turn. And again, all you have to do are read the newspaper accounts. If people want to go Google them, Laura, they'll find that what I'm saying is factually true. We also go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And what I want to add right there is the FA bargaining team said to the administration last night, we are ready to bargain tomorrow morning. We want to be at the table this morning on Tuesday. And the CMU administration refused, and they said they will not come back to the table until we are ready to accept their entire package, which is an entire set of rollbacks, which will undermine and significantly reduce any quality education and the quality of the faculty. So once again, they have refused to come to the table and bully us by attempting to say we will not come back to the table until you accept our offer.
Well, you know, Laura, I don't think I need to really remind people, but I will anyway. A negotiation is a conversation that involves give and take. And this administration has refused to do anything but make an offer and force you to accept that offer. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right, just so everybody understands, you know, the process that's been going on here. Now, you know, I'm reading student comments. And I thought it was wonderful that they joined the faculty yesterday on the picket line. I think that says a lot about the quality of students that you have there at Central Michigan University. Very proud of those young men and women. Very proud of the faculty, Laura. Very proud of you for what you're doing. What can we do? Those of us that are listening to the show this morning, what can we do to support your effort?
Two things I would say that you can do is you can call President Ross. You can call each of the Board of Trustees and explain your outrage to them. And also, you can come on to campus and show your presence. I will tell the listeners this morning that in the temporary restraining order, CMU actually wrote the temporary restraining order, and CMU in that temporary restraining order ordered us to not even be able to go onto campus and picket. The CMU Faculty Association has now been legally ordered to not be able to join on campus and implement our constitutional right to gather in mass and carry our signs.
Well, wait a minute. If there hasn't been the question is the legality of this. If that question hasn't been decided, then why a restraining order against something that is constitutionally protected?
You'd have to contact the CMU administration and President Ross to ask that very question. So since the faculty cannot gather in the next 4 days, we cannot gather with signs, and we cannot gather to show our solidarity, although we are rock solid together. Your listening viewers can do that for us. The students can do that for us. You can show your constitutional right to be able to go on to the university and walk and show how much you support us. We are there with you. We are standing proud, and we are standing strong. But unfortunately, for the next 4 days, we cannot stand as a group physically on campus due to the restraining order.
What about your satellite campuses around this state? Is it fair to picket those as well?
I can't actually speak to that at this time, and that's an excellent question. I would actually have to get back to you on that.
That's fine.
We have not reached out at this point to the satellite campuses and had them involved.
Yeah, so I would
refrain from that at this time. But calling any university officials, calling the Board of Trustees, calling President Ross, and explaining your outrage at this ongoing bully tactics and attempting to force the administration into an offer. And I know that I'm using strong words right now and strong emotion, but the facts of this agreement that the administration is trying to push at us, it's much more than economics. It is a set of comprehensive rollbacks to the underpinning of the security that faculty need and students need to know that they will have quality faculty in the long term. And I know my time is short with you this morning, but I ask the listening viewers to trust me on this. There are at least 7 components to the agreement that the university wants to push down our throats, and at least 4 of them have to do with undermining the promotion, reappointment, tenure, and retirement process, which keeps quality faculty here at CMU teaching and researching. And that is so critical for all of you. And I want to also remind you that the CMU Faculty Association offered to take a zero in the first year of our contract if the university offered 0 tuition increase. As we know, they did not do that. So they have once again taken more money out of the pockets of students and families in this area. And for that money, for that increase, which, by the way, has been a 200% tuition increase in 10 years, for that increase, you are not getting any of that put forth to keep retaining quality faculty at CMU.
Well, ultimately, Laura, it is about the quality of the education, and the quality of education, of course, has 100% to do with the professors that are teaching the students. This is ludicrous. I can promise you this. We will get up on not only our website, but our Facebook page, the contact information. We will be in touch with you so you can let us know if we can maybe organize something in some of the satellites around the state for those people that can't get up to Mount Pleasant. In the meantime, Laura, perhaps we can, and I'll have Jeff get in touch with you a little bit later, have you on Monday morning so that we can do a follow-up to what happened on Friday, no matter what happens. In the meantime, Laura, we have your back.
Thank you. And we are FA strong. And listening viewers, thank you so much for your listeners. Thank you so much for your support.
Well, you know, we are there for you. You're right. This is about solidarity leading up to Labor Day, leading up to what will be the focus of what we do. This is, as far as I'm concerned, at Central Michigan University, ground zero for organized labor. Laura, you can count on us. We'll be in touch. Have a good day, and just know that you're not alone.
Thank you, and everyone be safe.
All right. Laura Fry, again, the president of the Faculty Association. Chris Mialakis on the other side. I'm going to bet you Chris has something to say about this when we continue. Stay right where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW.
With Tony Trupiano. spend federal money to save money, where is the limit? I think we could reach a point of absurdity.
I think you just did.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got a problem out there, 696 westbound at Southfield Road. That accident has just cleared, but the traffic remains backed up to I-75. Also, 94 eastbound near Warren Avenue, we have an accident there blocking the left lane. Traffic is backed up to Livernois. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high right around 82 degrees. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely after 10 o'clock, mostly cloudy otherwise, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high near 86. Maybe a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Currently, it's fair and 59 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Vernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTV.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble, real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible, especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
There's a million reasons Staples makes going back to school easy. This week's reason, a free Bic product when you buy any two. Mix and match pens, markers, pencils, highlighters, and correction tape. Staples, that was easy. In-store only, free item must be of equal or lesser value. Ends 9/3/2011.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water. Everybody out of the water immediately.
Dude, it's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Central Michigan University needs your thoughts and prayers this morning. You need to be supportive of them in any way that you can do that. This is a fight for labor, for people, for children. Again, it is about the kids. This is about the kids. This fight ultimately is about the kids. This idea that, you know, college professors should go without raises, do you understand the commitment they make to their education to get where they're at? Some of you don't. Some of you don't. And CMU has money, by the way. They have money. Anyway, we're going to be following this story quite closely. We will have Laura back, and we will continue to let you know what's going on as it happens. Let me now get to my next guest, who was nice enough to allow us to bump him for a few. So if you would, guys, go ahead and give me the intro.
Joining Tony in studio,
as he always does at this time,
the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers of Michigan,
Chris Mihalakis.
And it's all true this week. He is in studio. Right. It isn't his usual time.
It's been,
I don't know, a month or so since that happened.
It's been a while.
And I appreciate you, my union brother, being with us this morning. It was great to see you Saturday night at the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour.
And that was a lot of fun. Thank you for hosting it. And I also wanted to thank you for introducing the UFCW at that event. It was, Roger Robinson, our president's really excited that you're able to do that. And I think, it's important for a lot of the good liberals and progressives that came out to know, our involvement with the show.
Well, again, I wouldn't be here without the United Food and Commercial Workers. It's just a fact. And before we even sat down and did the deal, I said, I will never hide that connection.
Right. Right.
And I'm very proud of that connection. And in fact, it was at that very meeting that I asked if I could join your union, and I was told yes as I was crossing my fingers. And so it all worked out. So thank you for those nice words. Very, very quickly before we get on this, because Saturday you also were involved in a very important rally, and I want to get to that. But very quickly, because you are an organizer, you're a political director, you understand the landscape, you certainly understand collective bargaining and negotiating. Talk a little bit about the CMU situation, and I know you were in the studio listening to Laura, and I mean, my heart's breaking for this woman.
Well, what I find frustrating is this isn't the first time we've had problems with CMU. I feel like every 6-8 months, President Hecker from the AFC Michigan, he'll ask us to call their president on something, because they're very slow moving at the bargaining table. And what I find frustrating is I don't think it's fair to tell any, bargaining unit that you don't have a right to strike. I think every employee should have a right to strike anytime for whatever reasons the workers see fit. But it's frustrating when you have these unfair laws towards some of these public employees that take away their right to strike. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to take away a worker's right to strike, which I would never want to see happen anyways, you should at least have some sort of arbitration process. At least let them go through a binding arbitration, and not just impose, right now the judge in Isabella County is giving all the leverage to management and taking away a lot of leverage to the bargaining
table. And as Laura said, they wrote, the CMU wrote the restraining order and the judge approved it.
Right.
So,
right.
And I actually find this kind of curious, because the law reads that you can't strike, public employees, state employees can't strike for financial reasons.
Well, and that's actually an NLRB rule. Believe it or not, anyone who's covered under the NLRB and it extends to a lot of
state employees.
And
that's the National Labor Relations Board, for those that don't know.
Correct. Most employees, if you strike over wages, benefits, anything related to economics, the employer has a right to replace you. And so think about what that's done to collective bargaining agreements over the years, and what that has done to wages and the strength of the middle class. That's been one of the biggest things that have slowed down the labor movement in the past, is our ability to strike over economic issues.
Well, I go back as we're having a discussion. We were talking during the break, and we were talking about how CMU's approach this, and you said that's bullying. That's not negotiating. That's bullying.
Right. Exactly. It's like you can bargain or you can ask your workers to beg. And what they're doing is they're bullying their employees, and instead of being able to bargain in good faith, all they can do is beg and hope for the best.
Our mutual friend Kevin Moore, who is the president of Teamsters Local 299, I've always found negotiations fascinating. In fact, I actually spent some time a couple Sundays ago reading about the process, because I really didn't know. And anyway, I was talking to Kevin Moore one day. He explained to me the process in which, that he uses. He finds those common areas that they know that they can work on.
Right.
And he tries to get management to identify right away where they think the problem areas are going to be, so that they can start, kind of working through that stuff behind closed doors before they get to the bargaining table. I'm sure everybody's got their own process for doing it. I just find it absolutely fascinating. I really do.
It really is. I mean, I was fortunate to learn how to bargain under one of the best, and that's That's our president, Roger Robinson.
Yeah, I would. I'm telling you, because he's such a sweet guy. Yeah. I'll bet you when he gives you that look, you pay it. No, I'm just saying. I bet you pay attention.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did a few contracts with Roger. You know, I just sat and watched him work, and I tell you, I've taken college, you know, graduate level classes on bargaining. And I learned a lot more watching Roger
Professor Robinson, absolutely. Yes,
that's right. What's unique about Roger is he can really read employers and really kind of see what management's pushing for and then work to get the best deal for the workers.
Our thoughts and our prayers are with our union brothers and sisters at Central Michigan University, and we will be following up on this story. Chris, before we've only got a few minutes before the break, but we'll get started and come back to it. You were involved in a march and a rally on Saturday. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I mentioned earlier on in the show, the mainstream media didn't touch this story, and they should have.
Yeah, you know, before we all had fun at the Michigan Opera Theater, I was down in Clark Park, and there was our March Without Fear, and it was wonderful, and talking about Roger again, when he heard about it and found out there was an opportunity to sponsor it, he jumped right on board, and you know, we're really committed to standing up for immigrants and immigrants' rights, and the UAW as well. You know, President King and Vice President Estrada were both there representing the UAW, and they both gave great comments and great speeches. And it's really awesome to have the UAW and the UFCW leading the charge in immigration reform. And what this was the March Without Fear. And what we did was, you know about what's happened recently at Hope Elementary, where ICE agents...
Oh, yeah. Raided. In fact, Ryan Bates was on because of you. You were gone that one week, and without them, I would have never met him.
Well, what we were trying to do is encourage the citizens of Southwest Detroit to stand up for their rights and to not be afraid of ICE, not be afraid of immigration officers. And, you know, we could talk more about that after the break.
Okay. Wow, you're getting good at this. You don't need me. I'm out of here. I'm taking off a half hour early today. All right, Tony Trupiano with you. Chris Mihalakis, the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers, is my guest. We will take a break. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, or on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW. This is also for a shift. We're going to take a little break and be back with you in just a second.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Well, this morning drive was going fairly well, but now we've got some accidents out there. 96 to Jeffries, eastbound at the Davison. Two lanes are blocked there. The local lane ramp to the Davison is partially blocked as well. The 94 eastbound near Warren, the left lane's blocked there. 696 westbound between Bermuda Hilton and Southfield Road, you will find some slower traffic because of that earlier accident. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast of the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high in the lower 80s. Tonight, some showers and thunderstorms are likely after 10 o'clock. Some of those storms could produce heavy rain, mostly cloudy when it's not raining, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, the winds pick up. After that warm front has gone through, it's going to be warmer, a high near 86 degrees, plus a chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Currently, it's fair and 59 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More first shift after this.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
The battle continues, and we must stay united until we get a fair contract. I want to thank all of my union brothers and sisters, both from landline and the wireless side, for their support in this fight. This is a true David and Goliath story being played out right now. David will once again win.
CWA Local 1101's Danny Gutierrez on the Verizon strike ending today. Striking Verizon workers return to work today under indefinite extensions of their existing collective bargaining agreements. Communications Workers of America President Larry Cohen says the unity that striking CWA and IBEW workers demonstrated in their two-week strike will continue, along with continued union mobilization, until a new collective bargaining agreement is won at Verizon.
That will go on not only until we have a decent contract, but until working people feel like they can join a union, any union, and bargain with their head held high across this country. We should return united as much as we can, marching in together, literally, at the start of a shift. For now, our unity will be to support the bargaining team and to show it. But if that process doesn't work in the weeks ahead, management absolutely knows that that unity will again be directed at them.
Cohen says the unions and working Americans everywhere need to build a new democracy movement to battle corporate power's assault on the middle class. Miles Calvi is IBEW Local 2222 business manager.
In good faith, we've decided to have our members go back and see if we can at least change the process. The process up to this point has been 100% concessionary, and as we explained to the company, even if we were crazy enough to come to a tentative agreement, it would never be accepted by the membership, so it was a complete waste of time.
He says a company like Verizon, with more than $106 billion a year in revenue, can't just dump health care costs on the backs of workers.
When a corporation that brings in $107 billion a year and has operating income profits of over $3 billion, if they decide that they're not going to help out on the health care issues, then we are in serious trouble.
Calvi says as Verizon workers get back to work and collective bargaining resumes, the public can help the unions build a democracy movement that defends the dream of a strong American middle class.
Any communication they have with Verizon, just tell them how outrageous it was that it wasn't just an attack on their employees, it's an attack on the middle class in this country.
The AFL-CIO is submitting more than 21,000 public comments from workers who want to see new NLRB union election rules adopted. The proposed rules would speed up union elections and help ensure that workers who want to vote to have a union have a fair choice. AFL-CIO says working people overwhelmingly support the new NLRB election standards, despite a torrent of politically motivated attacks on the rules from companies and anti-union organizations. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, Chris Mihalakis with me once again. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Chris, before we go back talking about the rally, you guys actually have a fundraiser coming up for, is it the leukemia?
That's right. This Thursday, we are going to do a shoot for a cure.
And we have, again, I got to be specific, the UFCW.
The United Food and Commercial Workers, yeah. Both Michigan locals, Local 876 and 951. And this is something we do every year. I don't know if you know this, Tony, but every union has a cause that they support, and they center all their fundraising behind. And the United Food and Commercial Workers nationwide supports research for the Leukemia Foundation. And every year we have a conference, and we always have local recipients, people that have benefited from the money we've contributed that come and tell their stories. And it's amazing to hear the stories and what these people go through.
It's
heart-wrenching.
Emotional, I mean, and amazing. Yeah, I lost a nephew to leukemia.
Wow.
So something that certainly I support. And in fact, my sister and brother-in-law started a little foundation in his name. And I actually said this earlier on in the show this morning, and I brought it up yesterday. We were talking about the scholarships the UFCW gives away, and I was fortunate enough to be on the panel of judges, and I actually gave a speech yesterday at UAW Local 22. They have a health care for all group that meets on weekly basis. Mm-hmm. John Conyers' little group, not so little actually, it was quite large. and I was telling them, we need to tell. Although I think people inherently know that unions do more than just collective bargaining agreements. They need to know those stories. They need to hear from the people that have benefited from that.
That's right.
And we all need that. I think in general we all need that. Even though, I my kids know that the light bill gets paid. I'd like them to, when they were younger, show them that, this is how it happens. You have to write a check. You have to make money. I mean, I think it's always good to demonstrate to people, why it works and why it's not just about a CBA.
Right.
Although that's important.
Well, yeah, in this event alone, we raise over $20,000 a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and the community gets really involved. And one thing that I really like about it, too, is even some of our employers, you know, it's fun. It's fun to see us out there on the gun range, and you know, we're all shooting pigeons and not at each other.
That's a real good thing. People want more information. Where can they go?
You can go to UFCW876.org or UFCW951.org.
Okay, and we'll make sure we get that up on the Facebook page. Sure. So anybody wants to support that cause, can you make a donation right there, or is there a way to get more information? We'll find that out.
Yeah, we'll get some information so you can put it on your website.
Great. We want to support that. Again, for me, it's a little personal. Let's go back to the march a moment. So you get how many people were there? I mean, you know, I'm just curious because I know part of sometimes in March Without Fear, the first thing I think of, especially if I'm undocumented,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to show up.
Yeah, there was over 1,000 people there. I mean, Clark Park was full.
Wow.
We marched through the park and down Verner. We had some great speakers. Like I said, President King and Vice President Estrada were just fantastic. And it's great hearing labor leaders at that caliber really take this issue on personally. And we had some folks that were victims of ICE abuses. And we had some good news that day, too. We were proud to announce that Obama was going to stay the deportation of over 300,000 folks that were on the list to be deported. And, you know, it's a step in the right direction, and I think it's because of organizations like UAW and UFCW, and because of labor leaders like Roger and Bob King and Cindy Estrada, that we've been able to take this issue more to the mainstream and show the public that undocumented workers are subject to the same rights as all other workers in this country and the same protections, and that, you know, an injury or an injustice to Juan is an injury or an injustice to Al.
Okay, and I would agree with that. I like that, Juan and Al. Yeah. That works. I actually got that, Chris. You know, interestingly, I don't know if it was a television program, radio program, if I read it, because I just don't remember. But this idea that, you know, that illegals, if you will, undocumented workers, take the jobs Americans don't want. And, you know, there's always that, especially on the conservative side of the aisle, where they say, no, there are no jobs Americans don't want.
Right.
But in Georgia, where they cracked down on undocumented workers, they have fruit and vegetables rotting in the fields because Americans...
Right.
No, Chris, this is an important point to make. Americans don't want those jobs.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, these are... And I can take you to the kill floor of Wolverine Packing. You know, good union shop, good union wages and benefits, and we have a hard time filling those jobs. It's difficult, and there's a lot of workers. I don't know what their immigration status is. It's not my business to know. But we have a lot of folks that work very hard on the kill floor and everywhere in the packing houses, you know, making a living for themselves. And, you know, we're proud to represent those workers. And, you know, the other thing people don't realize, too, is that undocumented workers, they spend money in their communities. They're not just they're not taking away jobs. They're helping create jobs. You know, where would Detroit be without immigration? You know.
Where would this country be without immigration? I mean, we are a country of immigrants.
Well, it's like I always tell people about one of the things I love about Detroit is where else in the world can you go to a Greek restaurant and be served a German sausage with Tex-Mex chili by a Yemeni and have it be delicious and beautiful and wonderful?
You're right. There is some real truth to that. Listen, speaking of food, let me just turn my attention to a fundraiser. I believe this is a fundraiser that's coming up. Colors Detroit, the opening gala.
Right. So, you know, we had such a good time at the Stephanie Miller after party. You threw a good party, by the way, Tony.
We
got to congratulate you for that. And listening to your show yesterday, I realized a lot of progressives might want to come out to similar-minded events, and so I'm going to get you the information to post on your website. But Colors is a restaurant that's being funded and operated by Rock Michigan, and we'll get some guests on here to talk a little bit more about what they do. They do a lot of fantastic work. They work very closely with the labor movement, and what they try to do is bring more justice to the workplace, specifically in restaurants. And Colors is going to be a training center. They want to give people who traditionally don't have opportunities to get the better paying jobs in the front of the house, your waiters, your bartenders, and those sorts of folks, or management. And it's a training center for workers to learn the skills that they need to get those better paying jobs in restaurants. So during the day, they'll be training workers. At night, it's going to be a worker-owned restaurant itself. And so it's in the old Center Street Pub, we'll get the address for you. And they're really doing a great job putting it all together. And the opening gala is going to be September 12th at 5:30. That's a Monday.
And they're going to have a ribbon cutting in the whole nine yards?
Absolutely, yeah. And we're going to be going till 8:30, 9 o'clock that night. So we'll get you all the information. And we would love to have listeners of the First Shift. If you guys had a good time last Saturday, we'd love for you
to participate.
Well,
let's do this. Go, if you would, Todd, go to rockunited.org. You can find the information there. Post it to Facebook. I'll post it to the website. Because I had to fill something in that hole that I had Stephanie Miller stuff on. So I'll put that in there this morning when I get back to the office. And we'll really encourage, and then again, we'll get somebody on from Rock United to talk about this. What does ROC stand for, ROC?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center.
That's just an awesome, again, yeah. I'm a former restaurateur. I've owned three restaurants, and I've got a conservative listener that reminds me every day that they were non-union restaurants. Every day I get the email from them. But anyway, this is a field that I have a lot of interest in. I believe, and I always believed in opportunity. I think the restaurant industry, no matter what job you have in it, whether it's washing dishes or prep cook, line cook, a waitress, whatever the situation is, I think a restaurant is in a way an incubator for life.
Because right.
You're interacting with people from all different stratas of life. You're going to see all different kinds of things. Quality and excellence should be part of that process. You're learning, you're training.
Yeah.
There's opportunity. And so I'll stop now. I love the restaurant industry, yeah. And I'm glad that I was able to be a part of it. And there are even some people that used to work for me listen to the show every day. And well, let's just hope they don't call. I'm not worried about that. I think I was pretty fair as a restaurateur. All right, very quickly, before we get to the break here, thank you again for allowing us to, because we seem to displace you a lot.
That's okay.
Displace you a lot, so we do appreciate that. I do want to remind people, just going back to what happened on Saturday with this rally, mm-hmm. if people are feeling... they're being threatened. Who can I turn them on to that can to help maybe advocate for their issues, protect them a little bit?
That's the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights.
And that's Ryan's group.
Yep, that's yeah. Ryan's group. And you know, talking about ROC and AIR and the UAW. I mean, working for the labor movement and working for UFCW has really exposed me to some amazing individuals and some great partner organizations. And, you know, something else I should mention, too, wearing my Metro AFL-CIO hat, our president there, Sandra Williams, was
amazing.
One of the first, or was the first, CLC, AFL-CIO Central Labor Council president to endorse, and our executive board was the first to endorse immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform.
I love Sandra Williams.
She's fantastic. And, yeah. and you know, our Metro is, we have a good progressive board that stands up for workers, and I give our whole executive board credit for standing up for workers on the immigration issue. It's
yeah.
not an easy thing.
Well, you know,
there's
just want to reinforce what I was saying earlier. Union, the big union, does so much more than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this show is here. I mean, we do need to share these stories. I think it's important just people understand how important union is. You know, one of the facts that I've been throwing out lately, because it happens to be true, we have about 7%, 8% of union households in the country today. They do 40% of the political organizing.
Wow. Wow,
what do we got there? Jack Layton.
We'll talk about that after the break?
Yeah, we can talk about that after the break. We got a call, too, so we're going to get that. Steve, stay where you're at. I promise we'll get to you. We got to get to the break here. I am Tony Truppiano. Stay where you're at. We've got one more segment to get to. We'll be right back.
With Tony Trupiano.
Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, are you a flake?
Well, I think that would be insulting.
But you understand when I say that's what the rap on you is.
On 1310
WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comment somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is deep, profound. Because of the internet, because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTV.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, and thanks for staying punched in with us, folks. Really, just a few more minutes left. Chris Mialakis is still with us. We're going to take a phone call. Got a little more information to get to. Then we're going to let him go, and we'll clean it up for the day. Let's welcome Steve in Monroe to First Shift. Steve, nice to hear from you again. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony and Chris.
Good morning.
I'm kind of bothered by Chris referring to him as undocumented immigrants. I mean, they've broken the law coming here. They're illegally here. I think we just should call it what it is rather than trying to find cute words just, you know, to lessen the blow of them being here illegally. And I think that's what bothers a lot of people is the fact that, you know, they've broken the, you know, fundamentally they've broken the law.
Steve, and, do you ever drive over the speed limit?
Do I ever drive over the speed limit? Yeah. Do I take a risk of getting a ticket? Yeah.
Are you an illegal driver?
Am I an illegal driver? No, but there's a penalty for me.
Wait a second, you're breaking the law. But you're breaking the law.
And that's the penalty for breaking the law is I get a speeding ticket. If you come here illegally, the penalty is you should be taken, you know, you should go back and get in line.
Yeah, but Steve, why does the label matter to you? That you know, that's the part of it. Why does the label matter? I'm just curious. Why does the label matter?
Because they're here illegally. They broke the law, and you guys are using this label undocumented to try to make it sound like so, it's not as bad as it is.
So, Steve, did the pilgrims come here legally?
Huh?
Did the pilgrims come here legally? Did our founding fathers come here legally?
I think you're trying to stretch it. You're trying to make an argument. You know, you're talking about 400 years, 500 years ago. I think it's fundamentally different. There were no even laws established.
There were countries then. They just weren't, you know, European countries or European recognized.
Now, Steve, let me make this a little simpler. I'm just going to take a guess here. I'll make it easier for you. How many illegal immigrants are here because they wanted to break the law? And Steve is gone. All right.
Well, that's awesome. And to follow up with what Steve said, too, Tony, I think wanting what's best for yourself, for your family, wanting to raise your children in a country where they're free and where they're economically allowed to prosper, I don't think that's illegal. I think that's the American dream. And how can we punish people and use these, you know, technicalities and refer to people as illegal when all they're doing is exactly what our grandparents did and our great-grandparents did, and that's want what's best for their family
and
for
their really
future
generations. And that really is the point I was going to make, so you made it better than I would have. Very quickly, let's go to Greg and Warren. And Greg, I appreciate you hanging on with us. What's on your mind, and good morning to you.
Hi, real quick, for Chris and everybody else out there that's a union member, why don't all of the major, well, all the unions in general, instead of constantly waiting for the Democrats to put up a candidate and then deciding whether they're going to support them or not and then getting disappointed like we have been consistently in the past, and Obama is the best example of that, why don't the unions get together and find political candidates from inside the ranks where they and give them the
they
financial support? Well,
No, Greg, they do, but I'll let Chris address that, and thank you for your call, but they do. Go ahead.
Well, Greg, I appreciate that comment. I think that's something that you're seeing happen a lot more now, and it takes a long time to get, you know, a quote-unquote labor insider to ready to the point where they could run for, say, president. But if you look in the Senate, you know, look at someone like Sherrod Brown, or Bernie Sanders. I mean, those are folks that stand up for labor values on a regular basis. And the fact that they're, you know, have gotten as far as the Senate with such strong union values, I think it says a lot to what organized labor has done over the past, you know, 10, 15 years. And it's something that we need to do a lot more of. But, you know, it starts with the grassroots. It starts with the community. We need to get labor members to run for city council and state rep and state senate. And that way we have a farm team of people we can count on to vote for Congress or to run for Congress and to run for Senate and higher offices. And, you know, so we're working on that.
Absolutely. You know, a part of your job as a political director is to identify potential candidates within your ranks or potential people that could possibly, you know, especially at the local level, at the school board level, at the city council level, city clerk level.
That's right.
You know, the UFCW is very involved in elections like that.
Yeah, we have three or four local elected officials that are rank and file members of the UFCW.
Absolutely. All right. And we'll wrap it up with Joanne in Ypsilanti. And Joanne, good morning to you. Welcome to First Shift. I appreciate you taking the time to call us this morning. What's on your mind, Joanne?
I was just calling to thank you for bringing up the march in Clark Park, because my daughter was actually down there at that march.
That's fantastic.
She went with one of her friends who's an undocumented student. They've been best friends all through high school. Her friend came as a young child with her parents and was really hoping for the DREAM Act to go through, because
a lot of us
would like to go to college, and she's very bright. She took all, you know, AP classes in high school, and now she really can't go to college.
You know, Joanne, you bring up an interesting point. Let's go back to Steve for just a moment. Joanne, stay with us. You know, I don't think Steve's factoring in the children that are technically illegal immigrants.
That's right.
You know, they didn't choose to come here. Should we, again, label them that way just to make Steve feel better?
Of course not. That'd be ridiculous. I mean, and the students that the caller is referring to is One Michigan. And they're just an amazing group of students who all came here in their youth. You know, they're 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, they've gone through our school systems, they're our neighbors, they're our friends, and they're very brave. I mean, the fact that they come to rally after rally wearing shirts that say, you know, I'm undocumented and unafraid, and they lead a lot of our rallies and our marches, and they're really an inspiring group of kids.
Joanne, your call was critical to this conversation, so I want to thank you for calling and bringing that up.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing it up, because I think people don't hear about these kinds of things, and they don't think about the fact that there are kids who came, and, you know, they're good kids. They're as American as we are, really. I mean, you've
That's
been
right.
here since you're 4 years old. You're an American.
I couldn't say it better myself.
I came here when I was 4 years old, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Joanne, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. Well, Chris, I want to thank you. Of course, it's always an extraordinary time when we're together, and It is. I enjoy having you here. I mean, you know,
it's always a good time.
It's obvious to people listening, you and I are friends, and we are friends, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the leadership that you give the union movement, the work you do for the Metro AFL, the work you do for the UFCW, and all of the things you're involved in. People have no idea. You're involved in ROC. You're on their board. You're on the board at Progress Michigan. You're just so involved, and again, you're standing up. You're one of those people that's standing up, and I do appreciate that. So thank you for your time today.
I appreciate that, Tony. And if I can, really quick, I want to give a shout-out to our listeners in Windsor. There was some very sad news yesterday about the passing of the NDP leader, Jack Layton. And I actually had the opportunity to hear him speak a few years ago at our convention, and it's a sad day for North American politics.
Yeah, it is. Indeed it is. All right. Well, Chris, again, thank you so much, folks. We're just out of time for today. I want to thank all of you for being with us. I want to thank Jeff and Todd for everything they do. Without them, this just doesn't happen. I'm Tony Truppiano. Off the air, of course, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still working some issues out there on the highways. Dix Road, northbound ramp 275 northbound. It is still closed because of an accident. Also, the Lodge, northbound after Wyoming. We've got a disabled vehicle there blocking left lane. And still on the Jeffries, eastbound the Davison. Got two lanes blocked out there because of an accident. What's with traffic?
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 82. Tonight, some clouds move in, and so do some showers and thunderstorms that could produce heavy rain. A low around 66. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Some gusty winds out of the southwest as well. Currently, it's fair and 62 at Detroit City Airport.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast.